Adams, phone number. Let's see. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Good morning there, Brian.
Oh.
Juju got it in her back door.
Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
What a way to start the
day. Brian's got a new best friend.
It's actually a lovely way to start
Move
the day.
Move over, loneliness. Brian has a new best friend. Let's see. What do we got cooking today? We'll do Mr. Brightside. We'll do Joel McHale from The Soup's in here. He's brought all his clips. Jenny McCarthy's on the show. David Alan Greer. Zack Snyder, director of 300. Oh, man. We got a ton of show.
Ton of show.
Try not to mess it up with the sound of my own nasally drone. Couple
yeah,
of things.
Screw it up the sound of my sandpaper throat between the two of us.
I know. There's got to be. There needs to be somebody in between us that sounds just right.
One of the shows I did yesterday was, I think it was Glenn Beck was the first show I did. And do you know what the subject matter was? Because they don't bother to tell me anymore. They said, Danny, which a compliment, I guess. Danny, he'll deliver.
It's definitely a compliment.
It was the annoying factor of Hillary Clinton's voice.
Yeah,
I said, are you kidding? You're calling me to comment on how annoying someone's voice can be? Why don't you get Tony Soprano to head up Neighborhood Watch?
Hey, Pot, meet Mr. Kettle. Oh, yeah. You can call him Black.
I still did. I went after her anyway.
Well,
that's my job.
The thing about Hillary Clinton, it's not her. It's not the sound of her voice. It's the tone and a slight like condescension that's woven into it. She has a little bit of that. I'm trying to think what it is. She sounds like one of my friends' moms that I didn't like when I was a kid, who would explain to you how things work at her house. You know, that thing where you come busting into the living room and they stop you, and they're educated, so they're not going to go, hey, get out of here, and try to push you or something. They'll do that thing where it's like, Danny, at our house, here's how we do it.
You're
perfectly welcome to run through the living room with your muddy shoes and throw your toys right. But at our home, this is how. There's a weird.
You actually said it in the exact way it's been said to me. The very first time you said it, here's how things work in our house. I exactly heard that from Mrs. Burmaster.
Yes. Yeah, we all had those friends who had the dads we were scared of. Mr. Vendig. Scared to death of that man. And there was a lot of, and then there was the mom, but there was the weird, mean, condescending mom, as opposed to the crazy drug-addled mom. She has a little condescending, mean mom to her. The tone of her voice, and again, it's like, does your voice change when you go gay? Does your voice change when you start loving NASCAR? But yet, these guys all sound, I can definitely separate the NASCAR crew from the gay crew. Ta-da! Hello! Boys! Right, what you're thinking starts to change your voice. I mean, if you think about it, it's like Bill Maher doesn't have an annoying voice. He has an annoying cadence when he's talking down to people on his show.
And an amazing capacity to inhale.
Yes.
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 Oh, understood.
Yes. But anyway, be all that as it may. Speaking of inhaling, I had this thought. I had quite a day yesterday because it was my mother-in-law's funeral yesterday mixed with my dad's surgery.
Big day.
Yeah, big exciting day at the Corolla house. Just what you want to do because, you know, when you're done with work, a lot of you unlucky people get to go home and relax. What I wanted to do was go to a funeral and then worry about whether my dad was going to come out from his anesthesia. But I talked to my dad. And my dad was, my dad's surgery went fine.
Good.
And so he's evidently doing well. I called him at the hospital because I couldn't go over there because I had to go to the funeral of my mother-in-law. But my dad was a little shaken. He was a little out of it. And according to my stepmom, he's not good at being tranquilized.
Right.
So this is, I don't know if it's nature or nurture, but he didn't pass this one along to me. I'm very good at being tranquilized.
It's a learned.
Yeah. And then it started to dawn on me that my stepmother was saying he was getting a little paranoid. He felt a little out of control. And then I thought, geez, what's the problem, Pops? What are you, lightweight? And then I realized he never gets drunk. He never gets high. He doesn't know what it's like to pop an Ambien, have a couple of screwdrivers, and get on an airplane.
Right.
Like I do.
Right.
I just read tonight's to-do list, except for the airplane.
Oh, what about the Lean Cuisine?
There's always that.
Okay. The point is I can't tell you the number of times I've taken a flight to New York from L.A., popped an Ambien, and had four or five cocktails on the plane and just been in some weird sort of stupor all the way to JFK. No problemo.
Yeah, plus, if you get good at it, as some of us have, like my wife sucks at it. She's afraid to fly. She's the actual drug taker on a plane. Of course, they come from a real doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes those silly things that they call Xanax, but the little roundish purple ones that I scoff at.
Yes.
Right, those are Pez.
She'll take one of those and a glass of wine, and she can ruin her trip by being dazed for 2 days upon arrival.
Oh, really?
Where I know my exact capacity to wake up in JFK or any other airplane.
Oh, me too.
Because I can do it by math and time. I just wake up ready to go. Let's party.
I'm talking about going to New York to do Letterman and being like stoned on the plane on the way there
and being fine
on the couch 5 hours later.
So there's an algorithm that Bonaducci puts together with hours of flight.
Yeah, you got to work it out. And just like anything you work out, you have to have done it.
Right.
You can't just have it written down on a cocktail napkin and slip to you under the bathroom door. Well, I realized as my dad was sounding a little troubled and my stepmom was saying he's a little bit paranoid and the medication, the surgery is not what did it to him. It's the anesthesiologist that did it to him. And then plus there's, you know, you start feeling anxiety. So they give you more pills and you now feel more out of it and you're a little freaked out. It's sort of like what happens when you're taking an animal and you're darting the animal and the animal's like, oh, what's going on? Well, my dad probably drinks a beer a year. He probably drinks like 5/8 of a Coors Light a year. Like he does no drinking. He's probably never done a drug in his life and he does nothing. So when you take him into the hospital after 20 years of not copping a buzz, and I
think you should have been taken to the hospital just for that.
I know.
There's obviously something wrong with you, Mr. Carolla. You're not getting buzzed enough.
I think some people they hate that feeling because they feel out of control.
Aggression hates that. Can't bear to be out of control.
The thing that's funny about my dad, though, is whenever somebody says that, I have to stifle my laughter because he's not a Marine drill sergeant or a commercial air pilot or anything like that. My dad sits around in sweatpants and reads. And like that, there's no, you wouldn't know whether he was in control or out of control. He doesn't do anything. I know it's all going on in his head, but it is a weird thing that he just gets up at 5:30 in the morning and putzes around the house drinking tea and reading books. You wouldn't know it if he was out of control, in control, dead or alive. He's just him.
Yeah, but he'd know.
He would know. So I was thinking, so I saw Dr. Drew at my mother-in-law's funeral, and I said, Drew, my dad's in the hospital, and he's kind of freaked out because he's not used to being on meds and this and that. And he said, yeah, a lot of people. And like I said, I don't know the longest I've been without copping a buzz in the last 20 years, but I would not want to sit down and do that math with somebody because it would be a very pathetic statement and an indictment as well.
Mine's kind of easy. If the legal limit's a .08, which is sniffing a glass of wine, as far as I'm concerned, through a straw at both nostrils, but still, a .08, pardon the expression, for girls and little girls, like a foot and a half tall. So I would have to say I was legally intoxicated for 20 years every day.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do if you have a couple of glasses of wine before you go to bed.
Yeah.
And technically, you can cross that line. But I realize my dad hasn't been buzzed in, I'm saying 20 years, but it's probably 40 years. And really, I think I'm going to ask him when I see him at the hospital later today. I want to know, like, have you ever smoked pot? Have you ever been high? Have you ever done any drugs? And if you drank, I've never seen the guy drunk. I've never seen him with a drink in his hand. And he makes no moral judgment. He just doesn't do
it's
it.
Not
never
for him.
Right. Never
not
did.
For him.
But then he goes in the hospital and he freaks out. So I told Dr. Drew yesterday, if you have somebody who's going in for a surgery and not only are they going to be put under, but once they're under, they're going to get other kinds of medications that alter them. tell them a couple weeks before the surgery, go get yourself a 12-pack and start copping one, because you're going to have to. I don't want to throw you in this hot tub. Right. I want you to dip your foot into it for a week earlier and then slowly lower yourself in so you don't freak out.
And what was Dr. Drew's response to this idea?
I think he heard me. He wasn't looking at me.
But I've done nothing but hear you through March Madness Madness. There's no not hearing you. What do you think of what you had to say?
He laughed. Well, he does like what everyone does with all my ideas. They go, okay, all right, there you go. And I said, no, I'm serious. If you would have told my dad, look, you know, don't go down and score an eight ball, but get yourself, you like wine? What kind of wine do you like? All right, go buy a couple of bottles in a few days, a week before you come in. Have a couple glasses at night before you go to bed. Just get used to spinning your brain around just a little bit, because we're going to spin it pretty good when we bring you in here on Wednesday for surgery.
Right. Now, the only thing is normally that they sedate you enough that you're sedate so they can put you under, right, which is only a really crazy 10 seconds. I'm like, I have been a fairly hardcore drug addict, and tranquilizers were my thing. I know everybody thinks, oh, this crazy cocaine guy. I did that for like a year. I didn't like it. I like the things that bring you way down.
Right.
So you'd think I'd be one of those guys, oh, I'm big, I'm hard to put down. The several times I've had surgery, the man has said, now you count from 100 backwards. And I'd go 190, boom, go.
Yeah, I think sometimes they give you a little Valium before.
And if you're not prepared for that, that will scare you. Yeah. Can I ask you a moral question?
Yes.
I already know the answer.
But I'm just saying, if I'm an anesthesiologist and I see Bonaducci coming down the hall, and I go, it's like, we're loaded for bear. Yeah,
you send somebody else to get equipment and an aquavone.
Gretchen's yelling, get the pillow and the hefty bag, and I'm saying it's against my Hippocratic oath.
She's not yelling.
I know you've got an ethical question, but just on a side note, speaking of buzzes that you get in a medical context, is there nothing better than the dentist when you get the nitrous? That's the best buzz on earth.
This nitrous dentist thing is, there was an episode in my life. I didn't go to the dentist for 10 years because I had no insurance and I had no money. And there was a long stretch of my life from the time I got out of high school to the time I was employed in radio was a stretch of, it was almost exactly 12 years and maybe a little bit of change. In that 12 years, I never had any form of insurance, and I never had any dental, and I never had any car insurance. I think, because now I realize I had arthroscopic knee surgery when I was 20 from a football injury. I think I was under my dad's works insurance until I was 21. Right. If I said I was living at home or something, I could go to Kaiser and get my knee surgery. But then it ended when I moved out or when I turned 21, and that was it. So I never had insurance of any kind, and thus I never went to the doctor or the dentist, because if you have to pay for that crap yourself, it is ridiculous. So when I finally went to the dentist when I was 33 or something, right, the guy was like, well, we're going to have to do a lot of work here. And I was like, good, bust out the nitrous. And he was like, you know, this is one thing. If you're a dentist, don't argue.
Yeah.
They do the thing where they go, you know, you really don't need this for the root canal, blah, blah, blah. And I go, I know I don't need it, but you do have it, right? Yes, yes. Go get it. And then they do that thing where they try to shame you. They go, we had a 9-year-old girl come in here, and she had to get her, and she didn't. Look, I said to the guy, if we were on an island and our plane went down and you had to do this with nothing, I could take it.
Right.
But as long as you have the tank of nitrous in the next goddamn room, go get it. I'm not interested in testing myself here. This isn't kung fu. I'm not picking up a kettle with my wrist that's red hot.
I've always wanted to do that.
Putting my hand in burning sand. I want the goddamn thing. As a matter of fact, I want to take it a step further. I would like you to dart me when I'm walking down the street and I'm not even know I'm here. This is the next step of dentistry.
Yeah.
You're walking down the street and all of a sudden, ow! ow, my neck, what happened? Boom, you fall over on the table. Next time you wake up in bed with cotton in your mouth and you're like, whoa, what happened? And your wife's like, look, you needed your wisdom teeth pulled. I know you're freaked out by the dentist. I went and spoke to him. I knew if we set dates, you'd be thinking about it and pacing around it. Much easier just to dart you, and it's done. And you're like, are the wisdom teeth are pulled? Yeah, gone. They're gone. That'd be the greatest day. So I would tell the guy, go get the nitrous. Yeah. Go get the nitrous. He's like, okay. Well, I'm a... So now every time I showed up, it was like, oh, Corolla, do you want us to pump the nitrous into the waiting room? You're such yes. a nitrous. I'm like, I'm not a junkie. You have something that can make this process go from a 7 to a 3. Go get it. And then what happened is I'd go back a year later to get my teeth cleaned, and they would hook me up to the nitrous. Right. Or really, I'd go, I'd go in there to pay a check. The guy'd get the nitrous right. tank out. And I was like,
and God bless you.
Look, God bless you, by the way, but I don't need, I wanted the nitrous because I had root canal and I was going to be in the chair for 2 hours. So,
couple of wonderful things I can help you with here. One, if they still use this, it looked antiquated at the time, but it was the first time I had seen it. The nitrous is controlled by two dials and steel balls.
One oxygen and
one
oxygen.
Nitrous, all you got to do is very casually reduce one while increasing the other.
What?
Yeah. And you can put yourself on another planet. The other is...
I should mess with my own nitrous oxide tank?
So yeah, you'll just go out. And what we do is you'll call the twitch. When you go out on nitrous, you have like
when you're
a small
a bad
fit.
Dream.
You have a small fit. While you're under, once you're completely down. But the other thing is, and here's what I do before I go to a doctor that I feel I'm going to need extra painkillers, or I'm going to need this, or I'm going to need that. I know they won't give it to me. Danny Bonaducci's coming in. I'm not giving them this. I'm not giving them that. Right. I'm not giving them this. So that's when I play doctor, chemist, and alchemist all together. I decide what the doctor won't give me and bring it with me. And he says, hey, you should be able to have this root canal with just this Novocaine and a couple of Tylenol. And I say, okay, thanks. I'd like to rinse and spit now.
Mm-hmm.
Then I pop the extra strength Vicodin in my mouth and rinse and don't spit. Because it's not fair that my old reputation will follow me. I have to suffer extra pain just because I was a big pain in the ass 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll bring a bottle of vodka. That was the big problem. If he's going to prescribe vodka, you probably shouldn't. I probably shouldn't drink ever. But if you're going to give a pain pill to someone normal, you could give it to me, too. Things actually hurt.
Well, I'm going to go get my dad's pain pills later on today.
Oh, good. Because he's not going to take them?
This is scrambling your brain, old man. And the Ace Man. Well, the good news is you gave birth to a heavyweight. All right, we need to take a break. But something I want to talk to you guys about. I, as I mentioned earlier, was at a funeral yesterday. It sounds strange to say a good day for a funeral, but it was beautiful and it was clear and it was lovely and it was outdoors and there's a lot of good people there. And everything went okay, a little too much religion for my taste. And again, that line where they said, she's in a better place now. I always want to look around and go, so we're in a worse place than she is? What's up?
That doesn't seem fair
at all. Doesn't seem fair. But I'd like to hear your stories. I'd like to hear your stories, and we may have some in this room. Oh, there's faux pas. There's people dropping things and people rolling out of them. There's mix-ups. There's a lot of opportunity just, you know, we had the pictures up on the easel and the good hard wind blew one of them over. You know, there's always that opportunity or... There's the thing. I don't know why it cracked everyone up, but I went to Kimmel's grandfather's wedding in Las Vegas, and I made a joke that maybe it was just attention, but it seemed to bust people up to no end. Well, I'll sit on that and tell it to you when I come back. But your
attention, because this is how he does it.
Your stories. Your funeral stories. Or maybe the wake afterwards, somebody got S-faced and told somebody what they... I mean, you know, seeing the things go wrong at weddings is always funny. Seeing people get into a fight or drop the chair. But for some morbid reason, funnier if it's at the funeral.
Sure.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with your stories, and I'll tell you one about Kimmel's grandpa's funeral in Vegas. Oh, only 121 degrees. Fantastic weather to wear a black suit in. We'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show. 866.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Adam wants to hear your funeral stories. Did you get loaded at the wake? Piss someone off? Kick over the casket? Call 866-901-ADAM and tell us all about it. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow, I see some good ones on the screen. Yeah, it's people getting together that haven't seen each other in a while, oftentimes for a reason. A lot of broken. Here's the thing, when somebody dies, it's not like they have two funerals. Well, one for the new family after the divorce with the kids and the whatever, and then one with the, oh no, trophy wife shows up along with bitter wife, along with angry kids, and they're all there. There's the gay one they stopped talking to 5 years ago, standing right next to the one who's an attorney, but he's strung out on pain meds. And there's, you'll rarely find a group with more unfinished business. Friends, family, like I said, there's just no way when mom or dad dies, the brother and sister that may hate each other and don't talk to each other, still both must come to the funeral and stand next to each other.
Right.
And then later on, there's some drinks going around and people have been reverent long enough. And there's a couple words exchanged. There must be plenty of good stories and I want to hear them. But first, because it is Friday and because Crank Yankers is back on MTV2, or I should say on MTV2, new episodes tonight at 10 o'clock. We're going to play you, as we've been doing for the last few Fridays, a little one. And not only that, but a plug for our own Danny Bonaducci, because he is going to be at the Morongo Casino on April 21st with this man, Jim Florentine, who plays not only Bobby Fletcher, but Special Ed.
Editorial.
Hi, is this...
Yeah.
This is Ed.
Ed?
Is this Scientific American?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I made a volcano. Yay!
What about it?
Yeah, I made a volcano with baking soda. Will you publish my findings?
What?
Will you publish my findings?
No.
Why?
Editorial.
Hi, is this...
Yes, it is.
My name is Bobby Fletcher. You've talked to my cousin Ed before. He called about a volcano.
Yes, sir.
And I think you were pretty rude to him because he's pretty upset about it. I don't know what happened.
He was yelling into the phone.
Did you say something mean to him?
No, sir. This is a highly complex scientific magazine. A volcano with baking soda is a very simple high school project.
It's not a simple high school project. I mean, I just did one last week myself. I'm out of high school. He added vinegar to it. I mean, it was a lot more complex. What?
This is a relatively elementary type of science project.
So you're telling me this couldn't be in your magazine?
No, of course not.
It's a bunch of nerds that read your magazine anyway.
Sir, perhaps you can try something else, but no, our magazine is simply not interested.
I don't understand the problem.
We do articles on quantum physics and high school level experiments. I'm sorry, this is a high school level experiment.
It maybe in your high school it was.
Sir, I'm sorry.
You don't understand how it looks. I mean, just tell them you will. You know, humor them. Why don't you take a look at the volcano first?
No, sir, please.
You got to see how he built it.
It's not going to happen.
You hurt the kid's feelings. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry, but I can't help that.
Can I just put him on the phone and could you just tell him that?
No, please.
This isn't your kind of magazine to do that?
Please don't do that.
Let me just, he's right here. Just pretend to like it, okay?
Sir,
the kid's all upset.
Don't do that.
He's all upset. Here he is.
Sir?
Hello?
Hi, Ed.
You didn't like my volcano.
I haven't even seen your volcano, Ed.
But you said you wouldn't put it in your magazine. Why?
I think it's very nice, and I think maybe your hometown newspaper really should publish it.
No, I work really, really hard on it. Why won't you at least look at it?
I'm sorry, Ed. It's really not my business to do this.
It's the best thing I ever made.
Yes, Ed, I'm hearing you.
I thought I finally did something like a big boy.
Oh. I'll see what I can do, Ed.
You ever taste lava?
Not really, Ed.
The lava tastes like sour, too. Can you put that in the magazine?
It's simply not acceptable for a magazine, all right?
Ah.
same guy doing both voices. I guess he was beating himself.
I guess maybe.
Well, Jim Florentine. The
now, man I'm supposed to follow that guy?
No, go up before him.
I'm long-winded.
Hadn't heard. Yeah, Florentine is good and probably bust out a little special ed or do his Bobby Fletcher. Now, that was the straight Bobby Fletcher. There's the one who can belch the national anthem who will also be showing up on our show at some point as well. But getting back to the topic at hand, funerals, one-to-one last night, or I should say yesterday afternoon, all went well, but it struck me this is fertile soil for disaster. A lot of feelings, a lot of emotions, a lot of unfinished business, lots of family. Then you start dumping some booze over it and look out. Gary from Glendale, that's what I like, alliteration. Gary?
Yeah?
What's up?
When my grandmother died, I found out that my father had been having an affair for 12 years. Mm. And they had a daughter who was 9.
Wow.
So,
you know now, what killed your grandfather? Happiness.
This is
grandmother, but yeah.
Yes, your grandmother's dead. Your dad is having an affair or her husband?
My dad was having an affair.
Your dad is having an affair. So her son.
Right. And I had
somebody's going to be dying of happiness. It's a good day.
I also had to break the news to my mom.
At the funeral?
Yeah, my dad tried to actually get, it was actually at the wake, and my dad tried to prevent me from getting my mom to go to the funeral. So, he said, can you get your mom to do this?
Now, where's the 9-year-old?
With Jack Silver.
Well, wait a minute. She could be with Jack for another 3 years.
She wasn't at the funeral she was at the funeral. She wasn't at the wake. And my mom introduced us to them and said, you were never to speak to these people again.
Was there any war of words, any fist fly, any drinks get thrown?
It was surprisingly sedate, but it was like really, really tense.
Yeah, there
really, really tense.
There is, again, like you show me a family that doesn't have a couple of divorces, a step monster or two, yeah. Male or female, some bad blood and some bad feelings, and it all is supposed to be put to the side for this couple of hours that you're at your funeral. That ain't human nature.
No, especially because everything is inflamed by grief. It's not like just a party where everyone's drunk. It's a party where someone's died.
Right. Well, here's a party. I was a pallbearer yesterday. I'd never done that before. Put the glove on, carry the casket, you know, do the whole thing. It's a strange and weird ritual.
Everything. I think funerals and weddings are some of the last remaining American bizarre ancient rites where you wear a special suit, walk a special walk. Yeah. You know, where you have to be trained all over again, and there's a different outfit and different foods and beverages than you would normally eat. Miniatures of you on top of food. Mm. It's a very odd ritual wedding.
Yeah. You said wear a different suit, but tell that to my stepdad. He was sporting a red members only jacket.
That's my man. You got enough girl.
I love when you get to a certain age, it's just like, F it. Right. I'm wearing what I would have been wearing anyway. Actually, I would have been wearing pajamas. You're lucky I sported the Dockers and the members only.
Members only.
Eric?
Yo.
Eric, what's happening? Tell us your story of funeral woes.
Oh, man. Well, it was my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting lowered down into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I can already.
And as this is happening, head first, the coffin just starts falling down, and it just crashes to the ground.
Body pop out?
Partially.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I'm surprised, you know, as me and the other guys, Oswaldo, one of them, by the way.
Really?
That's weird.
He was a pallbearer.
I'm not sure I get your relationship with him entirely.
Well, I think Oswaldo and Lynette are close, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, what happened was is Lynette's mom's house was falling apart. And because I'm the only human being on the planet who can get anything done and who has money, it's certainly in my circle, whenever somebody's roof is leaking or furniture needs to be moved or they need money or they need anything, I'm a hub everyone in my family and my immediate and Lynette's family is a spoke that leads to me.
Right.
So somebody needs a car, got to talk to Adam.
Sure.
Somebody's roof is leaking, talk to Adam. Someone's plumbing is backed up. Well, talk to Adam. Everything is just, well, go get Adam on the phone. And then people come to me and they go, hey, can you send Ozzy and his guys over so we can put a roof on our house? And I'm like, yeah, that's right, because I smuggled him in from Nicaragua many years ago, but he still has 4 years of indentured servitude before I pay him.
Yeah,
I pay them. I pay everybody, but they don't do it that way. It's just drop Ozzy off him. So I don't. It's. I have too much money and not enough time and not enough will to argue with everybody who's poor and stupid. So I end up dropping Ozzy off everywhere, and then I pay for everything, and then he rebuilds everyone's house. And in the time that he's rebuilding my mother-in-law's house, of course, they become very close because Ozzy's a very outgoing, jovial guy.
Oh, a guy that takes a chance out of his own neck because the cops are outside. That's why I went playing with my mom and
he has a couple of switches. He has an on and off. He keeps it off most of the time when he's sober. And so, of course, my crazy ex-mother-in-law is out doing her thing, talking his ear off, and Ozzy's talking. They both speak broken English, once Italian, the other Spanish. The point is those two became thick as thieves very quickly. So we're doing the pall bearing thing, and I'm thinking as we're negotiating our third flight of stairs with this casket, I mean, we're walking. It's outside. You walk four stairs, then you go straight in a flat for 20 feet, and then it's four more stairs, and it's guys, and the guys orchestrating. It's not like you go there the day before and practice. You're not a volunteer fireman.
And it's not like they make you aware how heavy it is.
It's heavy.
Like, there are people. I mean, Adam and I are strong guys. And if you're anything like me, and by your response, I believe you are, that when you grabbed your share, you thought, at least one of these other guys can't do this. Somebody's not going to make this.
Yeah, it's heavy. Ozzy almost put it down, but I paid him halfway into it. Peeled off $40. I said, let's just keep going. We can make to the grave, buddy. Cradle to the grave. Let's go. So he sat down. Oh, actually, the lunch truck came by halfway into it, and Ozzy broke off.
Took a quick break, and he was back.
I thought, yes, there must be others. First off, they're guys that don't have a good grip, and then they're guys who just popped a couple Xanax just to deal with the anxiety of the day or had a nip off a flask or something. These things must get dropped. There must be five dropping at any given moment, at any given time, on any given day throughout this country.
Oh,
if you think about the amount of funerals and the amount of casket toting. Sean from Las Vegas.
What's up, Adam? How you doing, bro?
Tell us your story, please.
First off, love the show. What's up, Danny? What's up, Jerry?
Thanks.
What's up, buddy?
All right, so I'll be really quick. About the 3 months prior to the funeral, I had to call CPS, Child Protective Services, on my brother. My brother's a major methamphetamine addict, up for days, no gas in his house, no power.
Yeah.
Kids are just disgusting, man. He had to bring them over to my house to take a shower. Hits me up all the time for grocery money and goes out and buys drugs with
it. Right.
So that's leading up to it. So in the funeral, it's my father's funeral. We all go up there. We do the do, all that good stuff. Then comes the wake time, and we're all kind of hanging out. And he gets a couple drinks in him and starts talking mess to me, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we just end up throwing down. We end up fighting right at the thing. We end up going through the banquet table, whole nine. Cops get called.
Now, who was the deceased?
My father.
Oh, okay. I got to believe that's the way he would have wanted it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, on his way to the beyond.
Yeah,
nice to see
he's hovering over the funeral parlor, looking at his two white trash sons go at it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I'm not the white trash one. All right, on drugs.
But your brother is.
I'd like something terrible to happen at my funeral. That would make me happy.
It'd be fun. I think I can arrange it.
Okay, cool.
Well, did you think to yourself as this was going down, this is a horrible time and place for this fight? I've got to stop it.
Well, yeah, and I didn't even really, you know, the whole time I'm like, listen, bro, you know, I don't want no problems. We could do this somewhere else, whatever, whatever. And, I mean, this guy's he's a lunatic, man. He just started, he rushed me. And so, you know, I grabbed him. We ended up going through the banquet table. Cops were calling. My mom was just in tears about the whole thing.
It is one of my biggest pet peeves. It is those who take a situation, whether it's a wedding, joy situation or funeral or any event that is somebody else's event and then make it about them. For me, it's a little different, but it's the guy who's at the bachelor party who probably shouldn't have been invited, but he's a friend of one of the friends, right. And he gets brought along anyway. And about halfway into it, he has too many pops, starts grabbing the stripper's ass. She slaps his hand. Next thing you know, they're yelling at each other. She's screaming F you and leaving. And you thought,
hey.
You're not the one. Sorry, Danny. You're not the one who's getting married. You're barely here. You barely made the cut, but you've taken this event.
You've made
it about yourself. You made it into your bachelor party. Now the stripper's pissed. She's just split. There's a huge black guy who says you still owe him $686, yep. Even though she's in the minivan crying. And it was all caused by the guy who's not getting married. As a matter of fact, he's not invited to the wedding. He's that far on the outer rings of the friend circle. Yes, there are people that do. I've seen it at weddings. Dude. I've seen it at funerals. I've seen it at bachelors. It's like, you make
the romantic version of that is called the graduate. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe when he showed up at that girl's big day and bangs on the door, which is now given the green light to all men who think they're in love.
Right.
To come by and do extraordinary things to win back the love of a woman who's about to get married to another guy.
Yeah, but in the last shot of that movie, when you see the two of them, their faces, Dustin Hoffman, whoever that was, you can tell that in their eyes that he and she regret it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, usually in real life, you can tell in the eyes that they're both bleeding from being attacked while trying to get out the door.
I'm just saying, don't make, whether it's the funeral, whether it's the wedding, and especially do not ruin the sanctity and the simple beauty of the bachelor party by making it your own. Brandy?
Good morning.
Morning, Brandy.
Hi. Morning, Brandy. We'll do one more funny funeral story.
Love you guys. You guys are awesome. Mm.
Thanks.
Well, I have to tell you, we were at my brother-in-law's funeral. Super emotional, you know, everybody's crying. His family does this whole collage of pictures, you know, on the computer, and everybody's crying. All of a sudden, this picture pops up, and he's sitting with his two daughters, and his business is hanging out of his shorts.
Oh, my God.
I thought his mom was going to have a heart attack.
Mm.
Oh, I thought she was just going to end up...
Now, how old is the gentleman whose business is hanging out of his shorts?
He was 42 when he passed.
42.
So his junk probably still looked okay.
Well,
or,
you know,
or am I just wishful thinking?
Yeah, it was from the 80s. So he's in these small shorts, these white shorts.
Yeah.
Butterfly collar.
Sporting the dolphin shorts with no underpants.
Was it important that you out this guy at his funeral? He's wearing white shorts and a flowered shirt and his wang's hanging out.
Well, you know, it was
his best friend. Well, his life partner standing next to him.
Brandy, did the
handing him a wine cooler.
Did the audience respond? Was there an audible gasp or a laugh or anything?
Not right away. You know, a couple of us noticed it right away, and, you know, our mouths just fell open, and then everybody started. And it just went from row to row to row, and people started laughing. There were people crying.
I must think, I'm trying to think of the best, you know, 2 years for junk exposure. I'm going to say 81 to 83, because now everyone is sporting these midway underpants. You know, the ones that aren't quite jocks and they're not quite boxers, but they're like little miniature cycling shorts. And then everyone's wearing the cargo shorts, the shorts that go down to your knees. Even professional basketball players used to wear these skin tight things with little belts in them. And now
boxers
they're all.
Too.
Yeah, now boxers
Muhammad
too.
Wore little tiny shorts. And cute.
Yeah, before Muhammad Ali, these guys wore really tight whatever. And now everything is about length and about bagging, whatever. It's a horrible year for sack exposure. But the sack exchange was in full effect somewhere in the early 80s where guys would wear dolphin shorts and then oftentimes go commando under the dolphin shorts. So every third guy that was sitting in my high school, you could see a sack hanging out of his shorts.
That's something they've got to want to do on purpose. I remember dolphin shorts.
And turns chicks on when they see the sack hanging out.
When they see the mouse in his big brain.
You're getting hot?
No, I remember being at the lake right around those years and walking and seeing a guy, and he was older and leathery, lounging. And that was the first time I ever saw what a guy's junk looked like, and it was a wrinkly, hairy, middle-aged nutsack. And I just thought,
nice. That is the difference. The difference between men and women is there's no such thing as the boys gone wild aspect of that for women. It's like there's no way there's women screaming when some guy gives them a little papa shot with the scrotum.
Because, ladies, if you've only been with one or two men and you're not positive, all scrotums look like a 95-year-old man's head if he's going through chemo.
Well, there's no difference between Brad Pitt's scrotum and the, well, let's see, try to picture the most unattractive male you could think of. I mean, think of
Karl Rove.
All right. Rove's sack.
Is exactly.
Harry Potter's retarded cousin.
Yes.
Even that guy.
Lisa Lampanelli's sack looks exactly the same. Is that? No. You guys, all you young women out there, think about your grandpa or an old school teacher or the old guy who drives the school bus or whoever it is. His sack is no better looking than Brad Pitt's sack.
No, sacks are just nasty.
It was so frightening. I had to get my girlfriend to walk her over to look at the guy's sack because I wasn't sure what I was seeing. And we had to take a tour over to the other side of the lake.
Sacrilege, I say.
If this package story hanging out goes hand in hand with my very brief funeral sure. story, this would be awful.
Right.
Okay, my grandfather passes away. Nobody's too distraught. He's 97 and was pretty healthy and went to sleep. You know, so nobody's like a wreck. As a matter of fact, there's some uncomfortable laughter between me and my family, but, and this is weird at a Catholic church, he was a professional magician. His whole life. He had some excellent television exposure. He's probably a celebrity in Philadelphia, but magic was his passion.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Catholic Church, they let him do a thing called the celebration of the broken wand. And these magicians came in and did this whole thing broke their wands and put them in the casket with him.
Right.
Which is kind of bizarre.
That's what they do, yeah.
But there is a trick that is very, very good and very, very simple. And I shouldn't say how it's done, but I will just. For the case of this story, you take a scarf, you make a hole in it with your thumb, you put your cigarette out on it, and boom, it's all gone. That's right. The brief version. What is it called? A thumb tip. And it's a plastic thumb, and it's somewhere between your thumb and the size of those fake hitchhiking thumbs.
Uh-huh.
But if you're just moving it around, you don't hide it from people, you just keep your hands moving, nobody notices. And that's how the trick is done. Well, all of us kids noticed he was wearing it. He was wearing his thumb tip.
The corpse...
He was prepared to do a magic trick. He had his thumb tip on his right thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided we wanted it as a souvenir. And all of us kept going up to the casket, weeping, howling, so we could bend into the casket with Bob and pull his thumb off. And find my brother John, of all people, because he's like the dignified Bonaducci. Gets it off, but is tugging on the dead man's arm till his thumb pops off. John is completely forgotten. There's people there, and it's a pretty good magic trick. Unless you're staring, it looks like my brother just went insane and ripped my grandfather's thumb off his body, put it in his pocket, and kind of high-fived my brother Anthony on his way out. Or in this case, high-sixed.
Now, what year are we in?
We're in... my vague years, so I'm going to go somewhere in the late 90s.
Did you leave his gold teeth in his head?
Yeah, we didn't steal his stuff. It was a souvenir. As a matter of fact, it came up the other night. My nephew brought out what he called his treasure chest. He's 21, and that thing's from when he was a little kid.
Did it come out of his dolphin shorts?
No, it did not. I know it came out of his dolphin shorts. But they're wearing it in front of people. My brother yanks my grandfather's thumb off, and people just start going...
Well, I said just a little insight to the Corollas who are... I'll tell you, when atheist combines with cheap, which is the real God my family prays to, I mean, they say they have no God. I say it's the God of saving money. When atheist meets cheap, well, you ought to see what happens at a funeral, because the idea of paying $6,000 for a box that you bury somebody in, well, that's three cars to my family.
Right.
No way. And the whole atheist part is great because they can hide behind it. Everyone in my family is in the Neptune Society. They
smart.
They come get you in the middle of the night. My grandfather died. They showed up at 4 a.m. in a station wagon. The dude was wearing sweatpants. I mean, the guy got woken up. He showed up. He rolled my grandpa up in a carpet, dragged him off, threw him in the back of the station wagon, and we never saw him again.
That's the way to go.
Now, no, we didn't go out into Santa Monica Bay and scatter the open ashes over. That was it. My grandfather's funeral was a guy showing up in his mom's station wagon in sweatpants at 4 a.m. and dragging him into the back of the car.
Right.
That was it. 2 years later, to be fair to the family, two years, not 1 year, 2 years later, we had a little luncheon where people sat down. I mean, luncheon. We showed up at my grandma's house and we ate some finger food. And we said,
we said our piece.
Ironic. Yeah, we said our piece. But as far as the funeral goes, that was the funeral. There was nothing. And you say, well, where's grandpa's ashes or where's the urn? Or where? There was not an urn. There was not a casket. There was not anything. And there was none of us on the boat when they did it. We just take their word for it. It was literally a funeral that was under $200. Fantastic, wow, everybody.
I'm a member of the Neptune Society. I just need to come up with something cheaper.
When cheap meets atheist, look out. There is something worse than dying. It is what's going to happen after you die by the cheap atheist. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, I've not forgotten about my incredibly funny story involving Jimmy's grandfather's funeral in 120-degree Las Vegas. Many, many years ago. Also, T's got the news coming up. You want to tee that up?
Sure. Well, Britney has finally settled her divorce with K-Fed. I'll let you know what he's getting. Not too much. And also, Chris Sly voted off American Idol. Now he's got some unkind words for the show.
Good. We'll take a quick break, and I'll tell you about Jimmy's grandpa's funeral next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Today's show's all that in a bag of chips. We'll talk to the director of 300, Zack Snyder, David Alan Greer, and for me's the soup, Joel McHale, and ooh la la, JD McCarthy. Finally, some giant fake boobs to look at.
She had those removed, Jack.
What the hell? Talk about the old bait and switch. Hey, speaking of bait, Jack Man's got an appointment with one of Jenny's old playboys he's got stashed under his desk. If the office is rockin', don't come a-knockin'. Late.
Thank you, Jack. Adam Carolla with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I was at my mother-in-law's funeral yesterday, and as promised, another funeral story. And by the way, Jimmy Kimmel was there, and he probably met my mother-in-law three times. And he rearranged his network taping schedule to show up at the funeral. That's
nice.
A mensch.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a guy.
That's a good boy.
You want to talk about respect. I'll tell you, I don't have an ounce of that in me. Jimmy is all about that. I mean, really, he did it out of respect for my wife and for me, but here's a guy who has the greatest excuse ever. He does a nightly, you know, network late night television show with a staff of 200 people, rearranged the day and made it out there in the middle of the day yesterday, and then went off to go tape a show that evening. That is respect, and we love him for it.
Because I'll tell you what, I got the news that my father was dead in the middle of my radio show, and it happened to be my birthday, and they whispered it in my ear, like, you can go, it was 8 o'clock in the morning. And I said, wow, it's my birthday, and they just told me my dad died. Huh, you finally got me something. Here's the Goo Goo Dolls. And I just finished the show. So, well, you got rearranging his network show. It was a pretty big deal.
I'm sure Lynette really appreciated that.
She did, and I think maybe it was probably a little payback, too, because I went to his grandfather's funeral, like, in 2000 in Vegas. I knew his grandfather okay. I met him a handful of times, but I wouldn't get on a plane and go to many people's funerals that required an airline ticket. But I did it because, out of respect for Grandpa and the Kimmel family. So I went out to Vegas, and that's where the story gets started, which is, well, the first thing I did is I missed my flight because I decided to cut it close, as I normally do.
Yeah, as you normally do.
I drove to LAX. I decided since I was cutting it close, I should just go ahead and park in the main parking lot right in the middle of everything. If you know how LAX is shaped, it's a big horseshoe, and in the middle of the horseshoe is like a four-story parking structure. Oh, they let me in, and I drove in a circle on every single level of the four-story horseshoe for between 28 and 41 minutes before I realized there is no parking space in this entire facility. I just, you ever do that? You ever go to park somewhere, whether it's a movie theater, whether it's a mall, or whether it's an airport? Sometimes it just depends how good or bad your luck is. You can drive in a circle for an hour and never find a space. Once in a while, you'll see a space, right? That guy's pulling out. Somebody who just pulled into the parking structure slides in because they're closer. I drove in a circle around the LAX parking structure for 45 minutes and at a certain point realized I'm not going to make my flight. I'm going to have to get a later flight and there's no parking in here. I'm going to have to leave the parking structure to go park down the street at the park and fly place and take the shuttle in. And as I was leaving the place, the chick in the booth was like, that's $8. I'm like, I just drove in a circle for 40. You pulled the ticket at 2:43. It's now 3:15. Now that's in it. We do it every 20 minutes, right. And you just want to head to the next 20 minutes. We just jumped ahead. I'm not letting you out unless you give me $8. I'm like, I have to pay you $8 because I missed my flight, but you shouldn't have let me in here if there was no part. No, $8. So I paid her the $8.
This is why I beat the transvestite. Give me my money.
Missed the flight. Drove off to the park and shuttle fly place there. Eventually end up in Vegas on, I think, a Saturday. And Sunday, bright and early, and it is July or August. I mean, Vegas is great certain months of the year, but there are months of the year where you're like, human beings should not exist in this environment, much less in a black wool suit and much less outdoors at the funeral. Well, we went in, and I wasn't feeling well. And my buddy Daniel said, hey, Buzzboo, how about we go across the street and go to the strip club? I said, you know what? Nah, I'm going to hang in tonight. What time is it? Yeah, it's 12:30 at night. I'm going to play another hand of blackjack. Then it's up to the room because the funeral, we have to be there at 8:30 in the morning. That's an early call. We got to be at the church at 8:30. It's 150 degrees outside. I got a little sore throat. He said, hey, Buzzboo, let's just go straight. We'll just have one pop of Jaeger. We'll get one lap dance, and then we'll head back.
Famous last words.
I said, nah, I'm good. Come on. What time is it? 12? It's 12:22. I'll be back by 1.
I love that unrealistic math you do with yourself. No, I'll be back here by 1:15.
I'll be back 1:20 outside. I don't know the exact time I left the strip club, but it
was, what state you were still in?
It was light.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it was not starting to become light. It was light.
Oh, that's a bad scene.
It was Vegas going to be 121 degrees, but the good news is it's only 114 degrees because it's 7:15 in the morning.
Much better.
Light. It was, I don't know. It was some, I blame it. There's something to do with Jägermeister. I think it has some quality to it that, you know, they say, here's what tequila does to you and here's what beer does to you. Jägermeister does something. The point is it was light. It was light. And then it was this kind of thing where it's like, let's see, got to get up, get in the suit and get dressed and be at Jimmy's grandfather's funeral in an hour and 41 minutes. So, went to bed. As soon as my head hit the pillow, the phone rang, and it was three JOs I met on the Southwest flight on the way in that somehow tracked me down and were still up and wanted to know if I wanted to party. By the way, I then slept for all of 41 minutes and went to this funeral and stood in this black suit, 110 degrees, and listened to the preacher wax on while this flop sweat that smelled much like Jägermeister just dripped down my nose. But the thing that made me think of the story, and maybe it was one of these things that just cut the tension, and that's the reason why it appeared so funny to everybody. We were then leaving the grounds of the funeral home, and we all stopped, and it was Jimmy's brother and his mom and everyone there sort of saying our goodbyes. I just wanted to go back to the hotel and throw up and go back to bed. And we all looked up, and there was a rainbow. And I don't know how this rainbow happened because it was not raining.
Right.
And it was a little bit humid. I guess there were a few clouds. It was hotter than Hades. And again, it hadn't rained that morning and hadn't rained earlier that day. But yet we looked up and everyone saw this rainbow. And everyone just sat and they just stared at it. And everyone said, wow, what? It's the middle of August or July, whatever it is. Oh, I don't know why. And everyone said, there was a moment. Everyone just took a moment, just stared at it and said, there's, that means something. And I said, I don't want to disappoint you guys. I know you're all taking this as some divine message. They're actually filming a Skittles commercial in the next parking lot. And everyone just erupted in laughter because I think there was some tension that needed to be
built. Yes. The Skittles are marketing for you always.
It's good, but in, especially in contrast with everybody just not knowing what to say.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like when a politician makes a funny, it seems like a 10 when it's a 4 right. because this uptight guy in a three-piece suit
yes,
made the joke.
Absolutely. I think right. the hardest I ever laughed was at my grandfather's funeral. And, you know, when the cars are in a procession and I was with my dad and the car in front, you know, it was like a long car, and my dad and my little cousins were in there who were like 12 and 14. And my dad said, see that car up ahead? Grandpa's in the trunk. Yeah. For some reason, it just seemed hilarious.
Yeah, it's called gallows humor, but
yeah.
things can crack you up. I mean, had they said the Skittles rainbow, had they said somebody's always after me, Lucky Charms, whatever it was. People were going to go at that.
Should have written that one down.
That would have been a good choice, too.
Well.
At the end of mine, if I die and you look up and you see a rainbow, I just want you to go, and Danny knows that at the end of that rainbow, there's pot.
A pot of
pot.
Just pot.
You know what, though? Maybe a pot of meth.
We need to take ourselves a break, but don't worry. We got the news coming up. Quick tease. I know we already teased one, but I went too long with my story, and I don't want to get too far out of joint here because Joel McHale
yeah.
is coming in from the soup, and we have David Alan Greer. I mean, we have two world-class comedians. They always come loaded for bear, and I want to give them the time they deserve. So, quick tease, and then we'll really do the news when we come back.
Well, there's a pot of gold at the end of KFED's rainbow, but it's not filled with all that much gold from Britney. I'll tell you more about that, and Chris Sly slamming Idol on his way out.
We'll hear that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's time to name The Adam Carolla Show Employee of the Week. This week's employee exemplifies what all successful businesses look for in their staff. This employee's work ethic can be summed up by the three P's: professionalism, punctuality, and passion. This week's Employee of the Week is, once again, Adam Carolla.
If it makes you all feel any better, everyone who can hear the sound of my voice was runner-up.
That's good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Right. I feel much better.
Wow, I'm going to make room on the mantle. We are going to get to the news. We're going to get to Joel McHale from The Soup. He's brought some great clips in. Jenny McCarthy, David Alan Greer. Such a show. But quickly, because I forgot to, I was waxing on about Jimmy and his grandfather that passed away about 6-7 years ago. On Crank Anchors on MTV2 tonight, one of the characters that Jimmy does is Elmer, the old guy, and that is his grandfather. It sounded exactly
you
like
said
him.
That to a T.
It's him doing an impersonation of his grandpa. We got a quick oldie but a goodie. It's Elmer Calls the Video Store.
Hello, movies.
There's a movie renter.
Yeah?
I'm trying to figure out the name of a movie.
Okay. Do you know what it's about?
A lady and a man. And it's a love story. She's got dark hair.
I have no idea what it would be called.
This lady, this fella, they live in an apartment. I don't know what town. But he comes over to her apartment. And they start taking off their clothes. And making love to each other. Then this black fella comes in and he starts making love to her in the and then it goes on another thing. She's sitting at a table with a girlfriend and they start making love to one another with a vegetable.
No, that doesn't.
There's a little kids in this film. They come into contact with an alien. The alien rides off on a bicycle.
No idea what that would be called.
The government captures the alien, and they ride off in the sky flying on a bicycle.
You mean E.T.?
Yeah, that's the one. And then the black fella makes love to the alien, in the spaceship.
Okay.
What's it called again?
E.T.?
How do you spell that?
E.T.
Oh, darn. Start again.
Wow. If they think you're old or if they think you're young and retarded, they have almost endless amounts of time to speak to you. That was Jimmy as Elmer. Crank Anchors tonight, MTV2, 10 o'clock in T.
Yes.
Let's do the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Iran says they captured 15 British sailors because they were in Iranian waters, while Britain says the Iranians came into Iraqi waters to capture the sailors. And today, a video was released on Arabic language television. Of course, it had one of the soldiers saying how much he deeply apologized for entering the waters.
Yeah, you could barely see the stick poking him just outside of camera frame.
You did get that feeling. And
well, here's the thing. We have GPS satellites that hover around the globe. Iran has a goat with a hunch. That's basically what they rely on. So I'm going to go ahead.
An idea. He means like a hump on its back.
Right.
It's a goat with a hunch. And you just worship it, and it tells you.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead with the, side with the scientists here that showed where.
Sonar and such.
Showed exactly where the boat was.
Who disagrees with you vehemently?
Who?
Rosie O'Donnell.
No. Thank you, Danny. Well, first I'm going to play you what the U.S. ambassador, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N. had to say. Then I'm going to play you what Rosie had to say. Here is former UN ambassador John Bolton explaining why it was no accident that Iran captured the 15 British sailors, because they are responding aggressively to new sanctions against them for their nuclear program.
The British, the Europeans, the United States should increase pressure on Iran. This is all part of the same problem. This is not an accident. This is not an aberration. This is part of Iran's response to the sanctions resolutions.
Mm-hmm. And here's what Rosie had to say.
It's very hard in America when anyone from the Mideast has been so demonized that no matter what, it's impossible for some people to believe that the Iranians in any way could ever do anything ethical.
Thanks, Natalia. Look, the Middle East hates Jews, and they hate anyone who sympathizes with them or comes to their aid. That's it. That's the problem. They're anti-Semites. They're no better than Nazis, and they want the Jews dead. We don't want the Jews dead. We don't want any group wiped off the face of the earth, so we defend them, and they hate anyone who defends that. We never talk about it. It's always about land. It's always about this. It's always about that. But it's really about being anti-Semitic.
Right. And at least the Nazis were more organized about it.
And at least upfront about it.
Yeah. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to march into Poland. We're going to round up all the Jews. The Iranians and the like say, we have all these beliefs as all you people have to do. But what they really want to do is kill Jews.
That's what they want to do. And then anyone else who disagrees with them.
Yeah.
And then, look, Rosie should just admit she hates this country.
Dude,
because that's what's really...
Do you have any more, Rosie?
Really what's at the tip of it.
What she said that infuriated all these people that I had to talk to yesterday was...
I am gay.
That. And I came to the... I brought that up. I said, and she lied to us for all those years. And they said about being gay. And I said, no. I didn't know anybody that didn't know she was gay. I meant about being nice. She's never nice. She's always been mean.
Oh,
but she said,
cutie patootie in the Chubb Club, everybody. Then the camera stops and she goes back and fires 10 interns and eats five of them.
She said that the English boat was in their water on purpose so they would get captured on purpose so we would have an excuse to invade Iran. Mm-hmm. So they're hostages of America, really.
Well, it's very complicated. Meanwhile,
the bitch should die.
Well, meanwhile, 15 British servicemen are there, and one of them's female. And, you know, it's a very tense situation.
Good times, yeah. And look, here's the whole thing when anyone ever gets in a nuclear discussion about whether they should have this or whether they should have this. First off, everyone goes, hey, the United States has it. Hey, the United States is the only country that's ever set it off. That's right. We set it off. We set it off on Japan to save millions, possibly millions of lives from an insane island of people that thought we were going to rape every woman and torture every child and enslave every man. Yes, after they had an unprovoked attack against this country. We rushed our technology and we used on them what they would have used on us in the middle of New York City in a goddamn heartbeat.
Right.
We used it on them to save not only our lives, but mainly their lives. We would have lost 100,000, a couple hundred thousand. They would have lost into the millions. We would have had to slaughter everyone on that goddamn island, and that's why we took out 80,000 with a bomb. Suck it.
Yep.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, we've been sitting on top of an arsenal. You know, one of our submarines, one of our nuclear submarines is the second most powerful army on the planet. Do you know that one of our submarines, one of our submarines is the second or third most powerful army or fighting force on the planet? We've been sitting on top of this for years and years and years and years, and we could have taken anyone out anytime we wanted, but yet we never did it. Well, guess what? We don't trust you with that ability, right, Iran. See, cops have guns, and I don't mind it. Once in a while, they shoot a guy for the wrong reason, but in general, I want cops to have guns. Criminals don't want to have guns.
Absolutely.
Are the guns bad? Not really. It's who has the gun. Cop gun? That's a good society. Criminal gun? Bad society. Well, guess who you are, Iran? Guess who we decided you are? So there.
But
T.S.
There are so many people that, believe it, I'm looking through the last five emails I have received.
Mm-hmm.
First, we're calling me Bonnie Douchebag, which has picked up all of a sudden, which I've always enjoyed since I was six.
What
thank
a treat.
You. But now,
I mean, that's awful.
They're coming into you.
Oh, no.
Because you unfortunately agreed with what I said on Glenn Beck and Scarborough last night. You're now saying, look, we don't trust you with this. This didn't happen. So there is, and these people appear normal, and a third of them believe that we are responsible for the World Trade Center, that we did it ourselves so we could
sure.
invade the Middle
right.
East.
Think of all the Jews saying 48 hours notice.
Get out, yeah. And by the way, we are all three of us, four of us, if you include Brian's electronic speak, protected by the First Amendment right that protects you. When you get to call us a bunch of names for what we believe, we get to say it just like you do.
Well, all I'm saying is we couldn't pull off the Pat Tillman thing. We couldn't pull off killing one guy in the middle of Afghanistan with eight guys standing around. You think we're really going to pull off the whole World Trade Center thing without anyone talking? All right, T, sorry.
No problem. In entertainment news, Chris Sly removed from American Idol, and now he's saying that he almost quit the show after the judges bashed him for turning the song Endless Love into a kind of a Coldplay ripoff.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll remember. He almost walked out over creative differences, but he stayed after producers told him that if he quit, he wouldn't be allowed to go on the Idol's live tour.
Mm-hmm.
He also is saying that it's a good thing he was voted off. Most people say that when they leave. Yeah. His quote, I want to do it on my own terms. And if that means I get cut early, then that means I get cut early. You know, I never came into this wanting to win it. I come from an indie alternative rock background, and I think winning American Idol would hurt what I was really going for. It's really seemed to hurt all the other winners.
I'm pretty sure the professor from
their names
Gilligan's Island said that success ruined his career.
Right.
Really?
Honestly, he said it right to my face.
Yeah, he was a good-looking, fine actor. Is now the professor, or was the professor.
Well, in brief, reports are that Britney Spears and Kevin Federline have finally reached what their lawyers are calling a global divorce settlement on all issues of their marriage, which means that after 5 hours yesterday hammering out a deal with their lawyers, this according to TMZ.com, KFed gets how much?
$4 million.
So he's getting a chunk.
One chunk.
Getting one thing.
There's no house, no car.
Well, whatever it totals to. And there'll be no monthly payments once that amount is agreed on. They walk away free and clear. Yeah, four sounds a little low, but T hinted it was cheaper than we thought. So I'm going to say $5 million.
$1 million.
$1 million.
Wow.
Yes, apparently they had Britney's lawyer had an ironclad prenup.
This
is very interesting.
That is.
So, and it appears that they're going to be sharing joint custody. There are probably more details to come, but this is what we know so far. I should say that E! Online claims that this story is not true, while TMZ.com is claiming it's true. I usually know them to be accurate.
You know what we need to do? I just hopped into my head. I was just complaining to somebody that there used to be $1 million smile or $1 million house or $1 million.
Sure, your legs for $1 million.
This got $1 million this or that. Right. Insure your legs. And $1 million isn't $1 million anymore. I mean, when I grew up, somebody would just use it sort of as a euphemism for rich, you know?
Right.
What's this guy's house? Oh, man, this guy lives in $1 million house up on the hill. He's got a business, makes $1 million. He just million men. He probably lived in a house that was $322,000 up on the hill, if it was that. But you just called it $1 million house. And castles were $1 million. Everything was just $1 million. Well, now, there's not a house up on the hill that's $1 million. And if it was, it'd be the crappiest house on the hill. So $1 million is no longer $1 million. Now, I know we then say it's $13.7 million, but that doesn't really work. It's not satisfying. And then there's the billion, but we're not quite there yet.
Right. Yeah. Where the billion is the new million.
20 years from now, it'll be a billion will be where the million was 20 years ago or whatever it is. Don't we need something in between? It's not satisfying to go, that house is a $52.7 million. No. It's not good, and you can't do million. And then $1 million no good anymore because $1 million smile or $1 million personality.
Yeah, $1 million smile means you could have really bad teeth. Watch any British movie.
But you don't want to say, I feel like $1.7 million.
No, you don't. You never.
Now, what do we got then, people, between billion and million? Kajillion sounds more than a billion.
I think a kajillion has got to be
Sicilian's
more than
a nationality.
See, I do this all the time, though, about money. So I try and figure out what's worth what. And now I'm thinking 25 million is the new million.
Hmm.
Because million was Adam's right.
But I want a word, Bonaducci. Yeah, I don't want to call it 25 million. That's the point. I don't want my kids going, I think I have it. It's a little self-serving. Carillion.
I just like want.
There's too big a chasm. There's too big a gap between million and billion. I want another one, and I'm tired of saying like $486 million spent on whatever. Right. I want a carillion.
You know who's got a carillion dollar smile?
Hmm.
Joel McHale, and because he's coming in here in a minute, he's the host of the E! Show, The Soup.
It's true. 10-cent brain, but a carillion dollar smile,
well, thank
everybody.
God, because you got to have one or the other. Because he's coming in, there was a news story about a clip he played last week. Now, if you'll remember, when he was on, he played us a bit of the fight between Lily Tomlin and director David O. Russell on iHeart Huckabees. Well, you might have been thinking to yourself, okay, who leaked this? Was it the audio guy? Was it who got a hold of this tape?
And it sat around for a year and a half, right?
Yes,
before it got leaked.
Just to jog your memory, here is Lily Tomlin on the set of iHeart Huckabees.
F*** you, motherfucker. F*** you. Get the thing together. F*** you.
Well, George Clooney has released a statement because somehow it got pinned on him. You know, he's known for being a prankster. So he actually released a statement to the media saying, contrary to popular opinion.
F*** you, mother effers.
Yep. Neither sound man Ed Teese nor yours truly sent in the David O. Russell tape. I saw it when we were working on Ocean's 12, and there have been quite a few copies traveling around town for the last couple of years. Any rumor that either of us put it on the internet is simply false, and I'd offer $1 million.
See,
a carillion bucks.
Million? Who cares? Yeah. By the way, chump change to Clooney, but a carillion.
He's offering $1 million.
I think I actually heard Adam Carolla, now being facetious, but this is a real quote I believe I heard from the green room to the kitchen. And Adam Carolla doesn't roll out of bed for less than $1 million.
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
Yeah. Well, he's offering $1 million to anyone who can prove otherwise. Mm. And then he signs it, your fan, George Clooney. So, if you can prove that George Clooney is responsible for leaking that Lily Tomlin tape, you've got $1 million, and I feel like a carillion. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Well, breaker of news, breaker of wind, and maker of mirth, Joel McHale. Coming in from The Soup on E!, he brought clips.
Yay!
We'll hear him next on The Adam Carolla Show. Well,
Captain,
good to see you, Joel.
Nice to see you.
Actually, be better to see Jenny McCarthy, who's on the phone, than Joel McHale.
Definitely.
Jenny?
Yeah?
Good to speak to you.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
What's happening, Jenny?
Just shooting the crap with you guys.
Hey, Jenny, by the way, let me just announce everyone. Danny Bonaducci's here. Teresa Strasser's here. And Joel McHale from Ease the Soup all here.
Yeah, you guys got a lot of people there.
Yeah, we're busy today.
Now, the last time I saw you, I think, was doing a PSA for you and your then husband about, what the hell was it about? Remember we filmed...
Agency?
Yeah, I don't know. We filmed something over in, like, Northridge.
Yeah, that's right.
What was that?
Oh, my God, that's so funny. You did it, and you didn't even know.
He's a busy, busy man.
The funnier part is where you thanked me profusely, and I said, well, you owe me one, and that was six cancellations ago.
Oh.
You coming on any show that I've ever done, baby doll.
Jenny, what gives?
What gives?
What gives with the cancellations?
Huh?
You heard me. You heard me, pretty lady. You canceled on Corolla six times.
Yes.
No, I didn't.
Oh, please.
Hey, can I tell you right now?
I know there's been a couple, though.
Huh? All right.
I'm having no better luck. I'm a huge fan of yours. This is Danny. And I,
oh, hey, Danny. You know, Jim and I TiVo your show and watch it.
Well, thank
Jim
you.
Jim Carrey?
Watches yeah. Breaking Bonaducci?
Yeah.
Dude, it's one of the most TiVo'd shows in the world, so people can go, God, I don't want to be like that guy. But I thought, you know, maybe somewhere, you know, your ego gets a hold of you, and a girl as beautiful as Jenny is on the phone, and I'm reading about her, and then it says, turnoffs, bullies, steroid monsters, and show-offs.
Oh, red pure.
Guess who was? She might as just say short, red-headed men and be done with it. Named Danny.
Oh, no.
Well, Jenny, I want to give a quick plug to what you're talking about.
Online for men.
Weight Watchers for men. Has Weight Watchers traditionally only been for women, or has it just been one of those things that women gravitated toward more than men?
You know what? They only had a site dedicated kind of for the women, but the guys were still going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think guys got tired of reading about knitting.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so they created a site specifically for guys. So now guys can go on there and you know, read about beer and boobs.
And lose weight while reading about beer and boobs?
Yeah, well, they can calculate. They can, you know, join the program online.
And well, you can have more of each if you lose a lot of weight. You know, I mean, if you're a big fat guy and you're trying to lose weight, you shouldn't have a lot of beer, and you probably won't get that many quality boobs.
Well,
but
you have your own boobs.
If you have your about portion control, as you know, Danny.
Right. If you have your own six pack, then maybe you can have a beer or two and a couple of quality boobs.
Hey, Jenny, you lost what? You went on Weight Watchers after you had your kid?
Yeah, I was 211 pounds when I checked into the hospital.
Wow.
At 5'6". It was a little much.
Well, Jenny,
what did you give birth to?
Well,
no, a grand piano.
He wasn't.
I've always wondered this because I'm looking forward to having kids someday. When you get pregnant, can you just eat all you want all the time? I know, I'm sad.
Not. You know, and the crazy thing is I had a trainer the whole time I was pregnant.
Really?
And I still gained that much weight. I was originally 120. I was 211 when I checked into the hospital.
Because you just think, why don't I eat this pint of Ben & Jerry's? No one's really going to notice I'm already pregnant.
Well, you know, I think, oh, my baby needs nourishment. He needs a whole pan of brownies.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got an idea, Jenny McCarthy. Why don't you roll over and tell Jim Carrey he can meet Danny Bonaducci in the flesh if he comes down here to the studio one of these days, provided in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys do any home visits?
Will you want us to come over there?
I would so
love power move
more than you to come over to my house and do it.
We'll just broadcast from your kitchen.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be awesome?
Well, I want you to think about why you TiVo my show, and then I want you to think about having me in your house.
Well, why is Jim Carrey a fan of Breaking Bonaducci?
I, you know what? We just both like it. We just feel like, oh, my God, Breaking Bonaducci's on.
Is
he's
like,
I TiVo'd it. Don't worry.
So can you hand the phone to him so he can tell Danny in person?
He's sleeping in the bedroom.
I know he's sleeping, but...
Wake him up.
Like 9.
Just hand him the phone and say, Bonaducci, the man from your favorite show.
Tell him Bonaducci is having wide rage and
talk,
on his way over.
We will talk about Weight Watchers for men all morning.
I will plug the bejesus out of that.
And hermaphrodites.
If you just... walk down the hall and hand the
Come
phone
on,
to
Jenny.
Jim Carrey.
It's about the men who need Weight Watchers.
Danny is dying of lung cancer.
And he's
he
in
has
stage
one
four.
Wish, and it is to speak to Jim Carrey. So just go down the hall.
I wish we were kidding.
Music that goes with it.
Hand him the phone. Tell him Bonaducci's on the blower. You know, just have him give a word up, and
this
then he'll
make
to
a
bed.
Wish. Just I'm, make a wish.
Right.
I'm surprised that Adam would go ahead and out it this early in the show that I have canceled.
We weren't going to talk about it.
And if
you guys.
You know, by chance. I mean, you can hear, you can obviously hear that, you know, it's affected me.
He's not a well man.
And if I ever got the chance to speak to Jim Carrey, Jenny McCarthy in the same...
Don't cry,
Danny, keep it together, man.
Jenny, listen to him. He's not well.
When I go, because I know it's going to hurt, that you don't go fast from this. I'm going to waste away the muscles with the steroids, they're going to go first. But if I had that opportunity to speak to Jenny McCarthy and Carrey the same day, I think I could go peacefully in the night.
Do you have a heart?
Who, me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, but I don't want to get yelled at for waking somebody up.
All right, he also has AIDS.
Yes,
that's right.
Oh, my God.
And sickle cell. Oh, wait a minute, that's David Alan Greer. He'll be on the 8 o'clock hour.
Did we mention the lupus?
Come on, Jenny. Remember when I did that PSA for you in Northridge 6 years ago?
And
you said
one.
You owed me? Now walk down the hall and hand Jim Carrey the phone and let him say hi to his favorite TV star, Danny Bonaducci.
I can ask him if you guys can come over here and do a hall.
Go ask him. Put the phone down and ask him.
Yeah, I can't. It's like a 20-minute walk to his bedroom.
Wow.
You know
you've arrived. Well, Jenny, we were going to plug the bejesus out of the Weight Watchers for men in the books, but that's all just a distant memory now.
You know what? I love you anyways. It's okay.
All right.
weightwatchers.com/men.
But ask Jenny seriously. When
I go to mine, and it's winstrawl.shootemupfatburner.
/ lung cancer / AIDS.
Adam.gov.
When you wake your partner... And by the way, I call the Jim Carrey your partner. You guys going to get married?
You know, before I said never. And I realized when people say never, then that always happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared to say never, but right now I'm really happy with the concept of not.
And is he insane?
No.
No.
Really?
Yeah,
but if he was the nicest guy in the world, you could go wake him up.
Yeah.
If he was nuts, he'd throw a lamp at you.
Yeah, it makes it seem like he's maybe
not
nutty.
Insane, even in the least bit. He's scary normal.
All right, because I'm going scary.
Yeah, because scary normal doesn't mind getting up just before 8.
Well, you know unless he gets on the phone.
Because I'm scary, and if my girlfriend came to me and said, hey, do this quick funny bit, I'd just do it.
What if somebody woke you up and said, hey, Danny Bonaducci, who you love, is on the phone and wants to say hello?
First of all, I'd say, I hate that bastard. He gave me cancer and AIDS and lupus.
No, all I know is he watches your show and goes... Damn.
Yeah, I get a lot of that.
What time does Jim normally get out of bed?
About 9.
All right, so we'll just talk to you for another hour and 12 minutes.
We will kill an hour.
And give the phone to him. All right, Jenny.
All right, you guys.
But listen, now listen to me. We're coming over to your house and we'll do a whole show from your house.
Can't we send an intern if we had one?
I'm just going to bring my whole medical bag and do
Breaking Bonaducci. Let's send somebody over there at 9. Let's send somebody over there at 9 so Jim can say hello to Danny.
I'm going to do something I've never done nor even offered to do. You know, I've never seen an episode of Breaking Bonaducci. I'm ashamed of my behavior. I don't think it reflects on me accurately. I really went too far for the money. But in this case, I am willing to bring my entire medical kit and some ugly-ass tattooed friends and come to your house and perform an episode of Breaking Bonaducci live in your house.
Sponsored by Greg Goose.
I'm going to play a frightened Gretchen.
You play Gretchen? I'll play the kid.
Yeah.
All right. I used to have two of them, I guess, in a rage. I killed
them. No, I can't play Dante. No one's going to buy that. He's all a boy in 5.
Jenny, when your man wakes up again, Danny, dying of sickle cell, AIDS, and lung cancer.
Okay.
It's a graveyard.
You owe me a favor between those two things.
I do. You know what, Adam? I really do.
What happened to honor, Jenny?
That's right. A little something called honor.
I know, and I'm a big fan of yours, so I know.
Thank you. And I am of yours as well. But when Jim gets up, call us back, and we'll plug the bejesus out of the Weight Watchers thing.
Yeah,
and your books.
Her books are really well written and very fun.
The Weightwatchers.com.
Well, you know what? I will honestly swear to God, tell him this.
Please do it.
We will take it from there, and I swear I will actually say those words.
All right.
Please tell him that I said...
Wow, you're getting AIDS all over me.
Pass some phlegm along.
Sorry.
From DB.
All
right, now I feel like we need to take a break. Why don't you give us Joel McHale from the E Soup? Give us just one tease.
I'm just gonna give you I don't know how it's gonna sound as a tease, but give him a little bit of hip hop, Harry.
Chance tells me that there's
that's not it.
Well, why don't we do the one that says tease on it?
Yeah, do that one. Oh. This is from a little show called I Love New York. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Chance tells me that there's a butt-naked hoe in the house.
That's all you need to hear.
All right, Joel McHale from The Soup on E! He has a ton of clips. We'll play those also. Dag, my main man, David Alan Greer, on deck next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Bonaducci did a show. The host had a huge ego. You know that I'm talking about.
Bonaducci takes us inside the addictive world of fame and the price he paid to keep it.
She wants to know, have you ever seen a partridge in pain?
A partridge in pain.
Tyra wants to know, have you ever seen a partridge in pain?
A partridge in pain.
Yeah, she blows hard every day.
Ju, ju, ju. Oh, speaking of which, that song, Ju, 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 and others that have been deemed too hot for radio.
Ju, 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 got it in her.
We're not allowed to play that anymore, but it's on, it is on AdamCarolla.com.
God, I just sent out, I cannot believe the mail. I just sent out a bullet. 13,000 people want to hear it.
Oh, no.
Very
well,
popular today.
You know what? My dad's downloading it right now for his iPod.
We should save it for a holiday.
Gotta work out to something. What a song about your daughter getting it in the keister.
One time!
Dude, I was just about to make the worst dad joke ever.
Listen, Joel's here.
Maybe
let's
a
talk
Yom
about
Kippur
the
you could pull
he was
that
there
out.
At the time.
Oh, Dan, it would have been in bad taste.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been.
Because it's different from saying it here than from saying it over here.
Joel McHale from The Soup.
Once again, thank you for the promotion that E! Does not provide.
You've brought your clips. You're handsome and bitter man.
Yes.
You brought your clips. Let's get to it.
All right, let's go. All right, this is a show called Hip Hop Harry, which combines a large furry Barney-like bear character and hip hop, and he teaches kids, and they ask stupid questions.
Ju, 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 get in the back door.
Who's interested in a snack? I have some yummy dried apples.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. My mom lets me have dried apples all the time. They're my favorite.
I've never had dried apples. What are they?
So what's sad about that? The one black kid asks that question, and it's hip-hop Harry, and so there's all these white kids, and then the black kid is forced to ask that question.
What are dried apples?
What are dried apples? Well, it's watered-down peaches, buddy. I feel so bad for them.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's right in there. It's kind of like golf club.
Yeah.
What's a golf club? Well, something you use to club golf balls. It's not like we have to break down bidet. What's a dried apple? Just repeat exactly what you just asked, but slowly. Or switch it around. Apples that are dried.
Those
are
what dried apples are. I'm still confused what a baseball bat is, though.
Yeah, it's confusing, isn't
it? What do you do with it?
Well, what does Bonaducci do with it?
You don't even want to know.
All right. So, what else we got?
Martha Stewart, we rarely play clips, and you won't hear Martha in this clip, but they're taking questions from the audience, and this woman just bought herself a flower.
I just bought an orchid, and I got it back to my room, and I realized I had no idea how to take care of a plant like that. Sure. Do you have any tips for that?
Probably the best thing to do is to get a book.
Yeah, you don't want to buy a potted plant without going through the extensive study program. And I will go into the orchid simulator and log a few hours in the pilot seat of that baby before I bring home a potted plant.
I can't believe it. I happen to have seen that.
You saw that?
Yes, and whenever I see Martha on TV, I think, that girl still has a show.
Were you wearing that shirt when you watched
it? All my shirts are this shirt.
That's how he learned to be dazzled.
You'd be my tip on taking care of your potted plant if you asked me. Be like, well, you want to take it home. It needs copious amounts of sunshine and water, and you need to put a pistol in your goddamn mouth. I would sneak that in right at the very end.
How does that
end.
Help
and they'd
the
be like, right, water. So, wait, did you say pistol in my mouth?
No, thank you. See you in hell. Next question. Next question.
All right. Girls Next Door is a show on E! It's where three playmates screw an octogenarian. And this is Kendra talking about how her boobs have provided for her.
You know, my first investment was my boobs. My boobs, I feel like, got my condo. You know?
Wow.
Sounds like a delight.
Thank you, boobs.
She's not blind, is she?
Joel, when you realized that you could safely differentiate Kendra from the other two, did you think, what has gone wrong?
Oh, with everything in the world?
Yeah, like with life.
Was Kendra the one that was texting someone with her BlackBerry while I was interviewing her on the show, or is that one of her friends?
I can't believe she can multitask like that.
Unbelievable.
Well, as it turns out, she can't talk and text at the same time.
And she's the person who, if you're talking to her and you say something funny, she does not open her mouth when she laughs, so she just goes, ha, 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 like a ventriloquist doll.
That's right. I started drinking water and laughing at a Bonaduce joke last week.
Well, speaking of water, you've got a clip from somebody who's trying to stay hydrated while starving.
This woman was on The Insider. She posted this thing on YouTube. And, just listen to this.
This YouTube video features a 23-year-old New York woman who says she's on a hunger strike until Sanjaya is voted off the show.
I'm doing this because I believe the other talented contestants who deserve a chance to win are being eliminated.
According to her website, the striker has not had anything to eat in 11 days. She's lost nearly 10 pounds and is staying hydrated.
Now, the woman is pretty round.
Oh, I was wondering.
She could stand Sanjaya to be on the show. Yeah, no, what a surprise.
For 100 years.
She's a great big fat person.
And, it'd just be funny. It'd be funny if she just followed through with it and died. And then there's that conversation I always think about, which is the parents like, how's Sharon doing? She's passed. Oh my goodness, what happened? Was she just hit by a drunk driver or a boyfriend murdered or what? She was 23 years old. What?
Well, she was watching American Idol and she went on a hunger strike.
And the TV blew up?
No. She did it herself. She stopped
eating. What?
Do you know who Sanjaya is?
No. The boy with the hair?
Yeah.
I love him.
Well, she decided she wasn't going to eat until he was voted off.
Who is she? High?
No, she's dead.
No, I just realized she's an enormous idiot.
All the parents whose kids went via the autoerotic asphyxiation or the hunger strike or the crazy frat guy was spitting, chewing tobacco off the 25th floor of the Miami whatever and fell over the whatever. Just that explanation.
Every time.
I would be, first thing is conversation with the wife. Honey, we are getting on the same page about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Covert ops. Think radon and Tebby. And that's all the government has told us so far.
But he was masturbating and strangling himself.
He was draped in American flag.
He was draped
when
in
he
a
came
rubber
off that C-130 at Arlington.
NXS was blaring in the background. No.
Please, let's get on the same page.
That's my quick fight. Oh, sad. All right.
You know, none of it's sad. I swear to God, even if we've made jokes and say Sanjaya stays on this show until this girl looks like a concentration camp victim, I'm still going to scoff at her for doing it to herself over this cat.
But I wish she would masturbate and strangle herself.
She lost 10 and could afford to lose another 80.
Oh, easy. It looks like she's hydrating herself with gravy.
I'm half the chicks I know.
Like she's done when I'm done liquefying this pot roast. I'm going on my hunger strike.
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Yeah, you're right. All right. America's Great Dream Vote. What's it called?
America. I think it's called the Great American Dream
Vote.
That's
it. This is hosted by Donia, a reanimated Donny Osmond. And they grant people's dreams. And listen to this young, hopeful Miss America.
My platform is childhood leukemia.
She comes to our cancer center, and every time that she gets a crown, she always donates it to our children who have had cancer.
I've had several little girls buried with my crowns on their heads.
Good time.
Me too. Now, when you win the tiara,
she gives the kids the tiaras, and then they're buried with it on.
Even if they're not dead?
Well,
physically buried alive because they received a tiara.
I know you're laughing, but I wouldn't mind being buried in a tiara.
Well, you should talk to this 6-year-old.
Mind being buried in a tiara as long as somebody came to the funeral and cared.
That's true. Well, speaking of funerals, that show's already been canceled after 2 episodes.
It didn't even start.
2 episodes and it's over.
That's because it's a 6-year-old with a necrophilia problem.
Well, I hate to admit it. 6-year-old reading a piece of what? I want to hear that one more time. I can't wrap my brain around it.
You did not delete it.
I could reenact it if she has cancer.
All right, go ahead.
My platform is childhood leukemia.
She comes to our cancer center, and every time that she gets a crown, she always donates it to our children who have had cancer.
I've had several little girls buried with my crowns on their heads.
Okay, see, I've got
her,
it now.
She's so measured in her speech for pageants that's how she talks all the time.
Right. I buried my grandfather with a scepter, but it's different. Not on the head. Totally different place. Very sad.
That's what he wanted.
It's the way he wanted.
Was it an open casket funeral?
We had to modify the casket. Yes.
I don't mean to be rude, you guys, but, you know, I do seem to be passing quickly. And I'm starting to think the Tiara thing's kind of cool. Just want to keep that out there.
No, right. You would be buried in Tiara, too?
Mm-hmm. And my best dress.
When can you wear a tiara in your life unless you win a beauty pageant?
It's the ultimate in bedazzling.
It's a good point.
Thank you.
They should bedazzle your skull.
Oh, I bedazzled these jeans.
Girls in a tiara.
Yeah. I bedazzled those front pockets myself.
All right, I'm going to cry. Let's keep going.
All right. This is from another pageant. This is from Miss USA. And this is someone who has gotten by on their looks.
So me and my friends were going down to Minnesota, and I didn't have the proper attire, and my friends had a great idea to go to the Winter Carnival Ice Castle, and it's about 25 below zero with a 50 below windshield.
That is cold.
The windshield, yes. I noticed that when I watched it.
Because your car actually had a windshield. Right. It might cool you and save you from the windshield.
Did she say it was 50 below with a 50 below windshield? Yeah. I mean, was she saying that it was 100 below? Yeah,
she couldn't. She screwed it so
And they only had one question to answer. This was the big finale.
It was not hard.
Would you flash freeze the second you were exposed to that atmosphere if it was 100 degrees below?
With a windshield of 200.
Yeah. Actually, the windshield factor in Chicago right off the lake gets 70 below.
The windshield factor?
Yes, it does.
Well, what's the wind chill factor?
Oh, I get three. I don't know.
I just love that dump. She's really
the winner
stupid.
Was pretty smart, though, Miss Tennessee.
I was
in love with her.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay. Well,
they brought this
cute.
Tiny little clip, and that's all
that's
I
That's enough.
Wow.
Now, do we want to do two I Love New Yorks?
Yeah, why not?
All right. This is pretty self-explanatory.
We got a butt-naked hoe running around this house.
Butt-naked perpetrating hoe.
Chance tells me that there's a butt-naked hoe in the house. And I'm thinking, why is one of these men in this house a butt-naked hoe? I want to talk to that butt-naked hoe.
That butt-naked hoe.
Take me to this butt-naked hoe.
Let me find this butt-naked hoe.
You guys didn't want to tell me about a butt-naked hoe?
I don't know why, but whenever I hear this stuff, I always picture like sort of founding father type. Imagine the guy who invented the television set, you know, 85 years ago or whenever the hell he invented it. Imagine a guy just sort of sitting around or the very first executives at the very first, like the Dumont Network in 1935. And they just sat around and I said to him, I'm going to dig you guys out of the grave and I'm going to show you one day of programming on your station. And you'd be like, where's all the cigarette commercials? Oh, no, no. Hold
on.
They're
bad for you.
We've outlawed that. You've outlawed that, but yet this is what you show? And he'd be like, Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, butt naked hoes running around. By the way, what's a hoe, Phil? Is it a hoe?
And what's
what
butt
is
naked?
I thought it was buck naked.
Buck naked.
I feel like if they took these DVDs, like if Al Qaeda gets a hold of these, that's all they need.
That's all they need.
Get the war going.
Can you imagine a conversation between Miss USA and Kendra from the Girls Next Door?
Buck naked windshield.
How cold was it? I know that you can't get enough of I Love New York, and neither can I.
No.
So. In this week's show, they had some, I'm going to say, extra footage, like DVD extras that you hadn't seen before, and they went to Burger King.
You good?
I'm proper doctor, like a Burger King Whopper, baby, and I'm having it my way. Now you can have it yours.
Without cheese, bitch.
Exactly. I like bacon on my
I do, too. Extra mayo and onions out this bitch.
Well, look, let's face it. Black people are more entertaining than whitey.
Yeah.
And you want an example?
Eat better.
There was one black man in this next room that is more entertaining than the four of us combined.
Yeah. You're talking about Cisco out there?
I'm talking about David Allen Greer, DAG, or otherwise known as my main man, who we're going to bring in next, Joel McHale, The Soup, on E!
Thank
this
you.
Evening, but rerun many other times
to
throughout
get their
the
money.
Week. Best show on E. Not saying much, but still technically best show on E. Joel McHale, God love you.
God love you. Thank you.
Nice
for,
job
promoting the show
as per usual. And the funniest brother alive, David Allen Greer, in studio next.
Unforgettable. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. And now the Ace Man's main man, David Alan Greer, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep.
What's cracking?
We're gonna talk about his new TV series.
Enough of that. I'm not here to hype anything.
Doing a stand-up over in Brian, all that good stuff. But first, I'd like to do a little dual plug, not only for DAG, but Crank Yankers, which is on MTV tonight.
MTV 2,
I should say. We play the calls on Friday. One of the guys who's best at it is Dag. Dag has a few characters. He has his vomit guy.
Danny.
And he also has... is it Lindane?
Lindalian's True Fail. Come on, man. Come on.
And when he calls, semi-pro, every white guy retired. Picked up the phone when he says, "You heard of me, haven't you?" He goes, "Oh, man, now that I heard of you, I was a fan." And look, let me tell you something, brother. Always worried about the white man.
What's up?
I can tell you this. If you called 1,000 white people as Lindanius Trufeld, or whatever the hell his name is, we would all say we've heard of you.
Well, wait a minute, what was the
right
reference?
White guilt.
Yeah, semi-pro, retired semi-pro.
I played all positions, baby. I was all over the field.
And every guy picks up the phone and goes, "Oh, no, yeah, no, big fan.
You heard me, right?
Big
you
fan.
Heard me, right?
Big fan.
I was midfield, baby. Had it locked down. Lindanius, the truth, you know, shabam."
You call 1,000 white people, you just have too much time on your hands.
That may be true. We'll do it with 10. Well,
do you know 1,000 white people's phone numbers?
I'm going to say no, because I checked myself.
Just get the Orange County phone. Get the Orange County phone.
300. They can't give you money in some
300,
way.
300. Nobody will give me money. No,
yeah. No, he's got three white people's phone number. He has my office, my home, and myself.
And here's usually what phone numbers about me.
Please do not leave a message on this phone. Adam Carolla cannot receive voicemails. Beep.
Let's take a listen to a Crank Yanker call from our own David Alan Greer.
Sports, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark, I'm talking to you today because I would love to work with you guys. My name is Lindanius Trufeld. I'm an athlete, a ball player. Y'all probably heard of me. I'm called The Truth.
I know.
Well, let me give you a little list of my accomplishments. Man, I done played for everybody, man. I'm 3-time All-Sweet Valley, 2-time All-American Africana. Do you know I once played an entire game with a broken leg, a ruptured groin, and an ingrown toenail?
Damn.
MVP Damn. Kellogg's Fruit Loop Cereal Bowl. 93 Hyman Trophy winner. NAACP Best Actor in a Supporting Role, and that's on a sitcom. Only worked one day in my life, man. Tell me I'm not blessed. Mr. Touchdown 89. Mr. Touchdown 90. Mr. Touchdown 91. Mr. Touchdown 92. It's time for me to give back and do some play-by-play. Are y'all hiring?
No, unfortunately, we don't have any openings.
Oh, man. Let me call some plays for you. It's the third down. They done got to the 22. Number 49 hikes the ball. Oh, my God, it's a fumble. Who picked it up? The Truth, Lindanius. Oh, he doing the shake and bake. He doing the dipshit dude. Oh, he done did the 180. Stop. Freeze, he playing dead. What they gonna do? Oh, he gets up and they're running all the way to the end zone. He's doing the end zone dance. Shaka-daka-lock, end zone dance. End zone dance. Am I high now?
That's pretty good.
I can do the upfront and personal interviews too, man. I ain't afraid to ask all the hard questions. I look dead at Dennis Rodman. Man,
right.
What's up? Did you take it? You know, I asked you that, OJ, why you kill that white girl? You know, I can answer serious questions. And look here, guess what I'm sitting on?
What?
Guess what I'm sitting on?
No, that's what I said. What?
I'm sitting on a gold mine, man, because I just put out my first album. Okay, it's not an album, it's a 12-inch single.
You're a recording artist, too?
Who's your favorite player, man? Because I got autographs, I got footballs,
basketball. I love Joe Montana.
Do you? Let me give you his autographed jersey. And I'm going to tell you how I got it. I got it when I broke his kneecap, man.
How did you break his kneecap?
Well, you know you hit him low. Well, you want to hear it, man? Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here we go.
It's 11:30. There in the back of the bar, Joe Montana approaches a tall Negro. He looks him eye to eye. And he says, "What did you say?"
The Negro gets down. It's shoulder to shoulder.
Then a snap. Oh, that Truth gives them the elbow. They're down.
There's a tussle. No one's come up with the ball.
Oh, my God. Joe Montana's up. He's down. He's up. He's down. He's up. Down. Up. Down.
I hit him in the knee. He went down. He laid for a while. And it didn't make a sound. The sirens came. Me and my boys ran. We said, split up. That's the best plan. You know, I put a little.
Yeah, did you do that off the top of your head?
Absolutely fell out my ass, man. Okay. So am I hired now?
No.
All right, peace and chicken grease. Don't get none on you.
All right, truth.
All right, then. It's truth, man. Right, truth. I told him, man. I said truth.
He went to the Yale Drama School for that, ladies and gentlemen.
They couldn't be more proud either.
Say, well,
and I ain't kidding. I couldn't do that. Could you do that?
No, you know what, Adam?
A lot of people come here with a lot of things, but I have been woodshedding. I just, I'd love to debut the new Adam Carolla theme song. It's something I work with.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about stuff. A lot of guys, you know, hey, hype it. You know, come see me at the Red Onion. You know, mm-hmm. I go home.
Right. I remember the Red Onion.
Bray Improv.
But I'm here. Yeah, I'm here, and I always think ahead. So,
you're not going to talk about being at the Bray Improv tonight through tonight, Sunday.
One show Sunday. No,
or,
I really would like
God
to.
You're here. New series on NBC.
April 9th.
April 9th. You're not going to discuss that.
No, not at all.
You'd rather do a song?
Yeah, I do. Well, I just, it's kind of like my, I was getting emotional, you know, Teresa.
I just love the show so much.
We love you.
It's like a big, bouncy, bosomy woman to me. And if I could just hug it, I would, you know. But I can't because it's a show. It's too big. It's bigger than my grasp, my hug. So I just like to give you this song. It's not just you, man. It's not Adam, the man. It's the show. You know, it's like you and you and that guy back behind that window.
Yeah, he'll be gone at the end of this week. Don't worry.
Check out there. You know, it's everybody. Right. It's everybody. Right. So it's from my heart, man. I hope you guys enjoy it.
You ready?
Yeah. Oh, the Adam Carolla Show. Shooby-dooby-dooby-doo. He's doing things in the morning, having a real good time. He's having so much fun. He will make you lose your mind. Look, I'm losing my mind. On the Adam Carolla Show. Danny Bonaducci too. Teresa's reading the news. Now she got dumped in her panty drawers on. Now she sits at home alone waiting for the telephone. She is never alone on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, man, what you doing?
I'm listening to the Adam Carolla Show, Jack. Say what? On the Adam Crackaholy Show. Show it on Peter.
Thanks a lot.
David
Allen
Greer nominated.
I can't
say how he
got through it. Nominated
for a Tony Award.
Are you okay? I just get so emotional when you put, you know, your whole heart and soul into song. Sorry.
It's nauseous when it's emotional.
I had chili for breakfast with egg on it.
Dang. I know. I want you to regain your composure. We need to take a break. Quickly.
Yeah.
Just riddle me this. If you were making love to Teresa Strasser, what would it sound like?
First of all, let's set it up. You know, we're at the bar. Like, all right, bottoms up. Give me a double tequila. Chug-a-lug. And we get home. You know, we probably wrestling and stuff. And she's like, no, you're hurting me. I'm scared now. What? Come here. Don't you run from this. Don't look at... Come here. Don't you hold still. No. Don't you look at me. Don't look at me.
That's always funny.
Dang,
you're on top of her. She can't move.
Then I wake up, you know, I go home in a little no shoe, and you get that long email. I was so frightened last night. I couldn't breathe. I thought I was going to die.
You two kids ought to get together. You really should.
I love Dag.
I'm going to go do something. I hear you every morning. You know, Danny's trying to set you up with one of his rehab friends. I don't know. This is weird. Would you like to go out to dinner on Monday as friends? We'll see. Kind of trial balloon. What do you think?
I fell for this as friends thing before.
No, you didn't.
Not the way he's planning it.
Not from me.
As friends?
As friends, yeah.
Do you guys go out? Yeah.
Monday? Yeah. Think about it. I don't want
to. I'm kidding. I'd love to.
Monday.
Yeah.
Monday night?
Yeah, Monday
night. Now, Teresa has to go to bed at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Do you mind
she does dinner at noon.
Dinner at noon?
Wow.
I'll make it two.
Doggy. Are you kidding me?
I know.
No, you guys can go out. You go out Monday night?
Yeah, yeah, we go like we'll six. Go.
All right. Okay. We need to go out.
Six. 6:15, you'll pick me up at my domicile.
We need
don't be
to,
like.
Okay, don't worry about showing up on time because this time I ain't buying. All right, I fell into your going out as friends
one
time,
too. Where are we going
to
dinner, Dag?
We'll talk about it off the air.
I'm going to buddy spy. I'm going to take a wild guess and say Roscoe's chicken.
You read me like a book, my friend. You can do worse.
Monday night, it's White Ladies Night at
Roscoe.
No,
there's the wealthy equivalent, crustacean.
Ooh, crustacean, microwave heaven. Well, it's not going to be a lot of. Yeah, I'm really glad we.
Hey, what's up, man? I see. Ha!
Yeah, it's a guy from Living Color.
Oh, this is the worst.
The gay movie reviewer.
I love you. What's your name again?
If you go into Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, how many people ask you to do the gay movie reviewer?
They don't do that. It's just, no, black people don't do that. They do, hey, man, I love all your stuff. A little too close. I've been watching you since I was a little kid. It's my grandkids. My wife, my second wife, and my mistress. Man, I love what you do, man. Can I get a pound? Can I get a hug? Can I cut tongue kiss you? All right, dude. Do something funny, man. Do something funny for my lady.
That's one of my least favorites. If you had to pick your least favorite thing, because mostly being rich and famous is probably pretty good. But is there a thing about it that bothers you? For me, there's, I'm not
do
rich.
Do something funny. Do something funny and the fumbling with the
camera phone.
Yeah, the camera
because
phone.
What happens there is that draws a crowd while they spend 15 minutes figuring out. My least favorite thing, Danny Buttafuoco. At least three times a day, every
did
day.
Did they say
they
it seriously?
Think you're that guy?
No. I don't believe so. But I've also been Danny DeVito a few times. But I'm Danny Buttafuoco all the time.
But seriously, when they say it, they're serious. They're not like
No. They're taken by surprise that they're streaming. Wow. And they go, oh, man, look, it's Danny Buttafuoco. Oh, that's my least favorite. Aside from that, you're all good.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Because there's nothing good about Joey Buttafuoco.
David gets Pam Grier a lot.
We'll take his wife shot in the
Tommy Alawayans.
Tommy Alawayans, man. I love what you do, baby. How your brothers?
How often do people mistake you for a weigh-in?
A lot. Well, one time I was interviewed by this woman. It was like a satellite press tour, and, you know, African-American woman. She's like, first of all, thanks to God. And thank you, blessed brother. Blessed. Look at you, strappy black man. I would like to, first of all, say congratulations on your success and how proud I am as a woman, a mother, a sister, and a daughter that you have taken your family name and disrobed yourself of it. And you do not want to be clinging to the whole Waylon's name. So you made up your own little name, and look at you. You got your fame. And I was like, okay, my name really is David Al Greer. That's what I mean. You make a lie and you stick to it, which is a strength and courage.
Strength. You see the problem with affirmative action, people.
Exactly. She thought that I changed my name.
Oh, no.
She thought that I changed my name.
We got to go to break.
We got to go to break. Peanut, if you could just pick the phone up.
Anyways, hi, Dee Dee. Yeah, girl. I was telling you, he tripped. Mr. Caroli is tripping.
I mean, Peanut, pick up the phone, please.
I'm on the phone.
Yeah, anyways, answer girl, our phone. Happened? We got to go to break.
What happened? Tell me. Okay.
No more personal phone calls on the company phone, Peanut.
What is it?
Peanut, I'm going to need you to pick up the phone since you're hired to answer the phone.
Good morning, Mr. Crolola.
Right.
How's your drink?
Right. Now answer the phone and no more personal phone calls with Dee Dee, all right? I need you to pick up the phone.
Huh?
Need you to pick up the phone.
Huh?
Peanut.
What?
I think you heard
now,
me.
Now, what your voice say?
Okay, I'm just...
No, I just got in. I didn't even take my flip-flops off. You're getting all in my grill.
Well, I'm running out of patience.
I'm going to pick up the phone, okay? I'm going to pick up the phone, okay? I'm going to pick up the phone.
Please.
No, I'm going to pick it up.
I don't appreciate...
I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to pick it up. Hello?
Peanut.
Who is this?
Peanut.
Yeah?
We will let you go from this company if you persist with this.
What that mean?
I'm not threatening you.
No, what that mean?
I'm just saying
my
that your attitude is not...
told me that I need to stay employed. This is not, you ain't even know me. You don't know my pain.
Okay, Peanut, we...
I just got a tattoo of you. I like Peanut, you. Ooh.
That is Malcolm X. That is not me, and we need to take a break.
I just changed the letters around. It could be you.
I don't wear bow tie glasses.
You got an afro. You damn near look like Malcolm X.
All right, Peanut, that's enough. Now, we need to take
hello,
a break.
Hello, who is it? I'm answering the phone now, Mr. Rolola.
We're taking a break.
Ooh, I hate you.
When we come back, David
you.
Allen Greer will be here also.
You like hot sauce on a scab. You ain't no fun.
We'll speak to Zack Snyder, director of 300.
What? Yeah.
next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hello, it's Peanut. Catch my breath for a hit.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
You bring the crowns and heads of conquered kings to my city steps. You insult my queen. You threaten my people with slavery and death. Oh, I've chosen my words carefully, Persian. Perhaps you should have done the same. This is blasphemy. This is madness. This is Sparta!
And now, the director of 300, Zack Snyder, on the Adam Carolla Show.
David Alan Greer is sitting in and hanging with us.
Hey, what's up, man?
I gotta say, see, I'm a horrible divining rod for most things. I saw the billboards for this, and I thought, oh, there's gonna be a handful of pent-up teenagers that are going to see this movie, but you're not going to get chicks over there, and you're not going to get guys with college degrees, and it made $70 million. It's opening weekend. And it was number one for the first two, and it's made $162 million to date. Zach?
Yeah.
Good to speak to you, Zach Snyder. You directed and co-wrote 300?
I did indeed.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Did you think it would be this big?
You know, I got to say, I kind of agree with you.
I don't mean to sound condescending, but I mean...
I got to say, I kind of said the same stuff. I'd say, listen, who's going to go see this ridiculous movie I made?
But, I thought it'd do well, but $70 million in its opening weekend?
Did you think it would be this big?
The God's honest truth is that when we made the movie, I said, listen, I'm making this movie very specifically for a very specific group of people that love action and love graphic novels, and you know, those are the guys I really want to. I want to nail that,
right?
And it was a byproduct. I think that people saw. You know, I think really what it is that it's just a little something different at the movies. I think people are aching for that.
I would just like to personally thank you as a scene-list celebrity myself for making a hit movie with no really big stars in it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a scene listener, I would really like to thank you from the bottom of my heart, which is almost just black with fear and envy.
And Cole.
That's awesome.
You know, I don't believe this malarkey this young man is talking. He doesn't, he didn't think this movie was going to be big. You mean to tell me, Mr. Director, that you weren't in your townhome in your skivvies about 2 or 3 days before this baby opened? Bragging to yourself, doing the Tom Cruise dance. Look, I'm going to make $70 million.
No, there's no way.
All right, I'm wrong. Sorry. No,
that's Damon Wayans, by the way, Zach.
Damian Wayans, stop.
Sorry. Zack Snyder on the phone, director of 300. So, couple of questions. First off, there must be a sequel or some form of a sequel. And I know you'd have to stretch to do a sequel of this one.
You
would.
300.
But is there, yes.
3.5.
There it is right there.
Well, you know, it's funny because I did the other movie I did was this little zombie flick called Dawn of the Dead.
Sure.
And it was funny because someone asked me and I said, hey, maybe, I don't know if you know what happens to the Spartans at the end of 300, but maybe there's a way to combine those two movies as a sequel.
Right. Yeah. Because basically, I mean, you take license, but 300 is a true story.
It is, absolutely true story.
About the Battle of Thermopylae.
Xerxes, took over more land than Alexander the Great. He was unstoppable. So this is their Alamo. This is the Spartans' Alamo. So it's a great idea, but if you think about it, Persia doesn't exist anymore. It's Iran. So he made a movie about a bunch of Iranians killing a bunch of really brave guys and still made $70 million his opening weekend without an A-list celebrity. That's balls.
And all the characters talk like this. How dare you, Danny, look at me.
Well, Zach,
which is good for me.
How dare you?
I will say this, David Alan Greer.
Yes, it's me, Adam.
It's intense when they're in each other's grills, but when they're just having casual conversation and sounding like that, like how's the weather?
What's going on? How'd you sleep last night?
How's
the wife and kids? Have you seen my squirt?
Penny for your thoughts.
Penny for your thoughts. Have I told you today I love you?
Awesome. See, that's when it bumps me.
Give me a hug, Adam.
It's raining men.
Zach, you made the zombie movie, and then you made the completely antithetical Battle of Thermopylae movie. Now you can probably make anything you want.
Yeah, what is next for Zach?
Well, I'm working on a movie called Watchmen. I don't know if you know what it is. It's another graphic novel, Alan Moore graphic novel. It's basically...
Nerding.
I know about this. Watchmen? Is it about Night Watchmen?
It is the king daddy of all graphic novels. It's
what is it? Yeah, tell us.
It's basically the story of these retired superheroes are being killed one by one. And you're trying to figure out, like, the deal is.
You poor Dag. The black guys aren't into the graphic novels.
So what were you saying? The security guards are retired?
Yeah. Oh, what?
No, but the thing is, it is political. Like, people have said, like, oh, 300 is political. And I go, what are you talking about? 300 is not political.
Stop that, David.
David.
Hey, Zach. Oh, we're talking to Zack Snyder, by the way, who co-wrote and directed 300 in theaters as we speak.
Soon to come 302.
Look, can I ask you this about the graphic novels, which are comic books, but it's sort of comic books is the difference between calling a, you know, little people and midget, I guess.
Well, I didn't know that. Is comic book derogatory?
It's just different.
A lot of people think that
that's the literary N-word.
But
yeah.
in some ways, N-word. You know, geeks haven't embraced that.
Literally the C-word.
My 12-year-old reads graphic novels.
But can I ask this, and maybe I'm just naive because I never read a comic book or a graphic novel or directions or a
book
or a sign. I never read anything because I believe it poisons the mind. Where do all these come from? Because it seems like every year somebody says, hey, we're coming out with Sin City. Hey, we're coming out with The Watchmen. Hey, we're coming out with whatever. And I go, there were the Archie, Superman, and Batman. I don't remember all these. Yeah. Everyone goes, oh, thank God they're coming out with this one. I love this one when I was a kid. Were there hundreds that I never saw?
Ways, I think what happened was there was a generation that were inspired by, you know, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. And they said, you know what? Screw it. I think my superheroes are darker and scarier. And that's what you get now, you know.
Even Spider-Man is taking a turn for the dark side. I mean, everything has to be edgy and dark. Even, like, the Smurfs came out with another cartoon. Would be one edgy one.
What do you think
voices are similar, too. It's, I'm a Smurf. I'm a Smurf now.
Like the darker one, Zach.
I kind of do. That's like the whole comic book thing. I'm pretty comfortable with calling it a comic book when it stomps your face in the ground.
Speaking of dark ones, you have some issues, don't you, Zach? I mean, when you say I have no problem calling it a comic book as long as it smashes your face in the ground, I'm thinking there's a little Zack Snyder issue at
all. I want to know what Zack Snyder was like in high school.
I think he got his ass kicked.
You know, it's funny. The thing is, there's a comic book called...
Answer the question.
I don't know if you know this thing called Heavy Metal. It's a magazine.
Sure.
My mom used to think that... She goes, oh, Zach loves, like, you know, comic books. I'm going to get him a subscription to this thing called Heavy Metal. And if you don't know it, it's basically an adult illustrated fantasy magazine.
Yeah, the chicks wear...
That is to say, there's a lot of, like boobies and...
So you would read the Heavy Metal?
But please...
Machine guns. And I was, like, 12, so it was a bad parenting, but it worked out for me.
But please tell me you're not into anime.
I appreciate anime, but I'm not a big anime.
All right, good. Don't make any anime.
Have you ever been to an anime convention?
Ooh.
No, I have not.
Okay, you've got to just to see it. I hate anime, but my daughter likes it, so I took her. They make Trekkies look so normal.
Really?
Anime creatures have 8-foot hair and manes and wild silk suits and stuff. And they show up by the 20,000s. It's an amazing event.
There are dudes that get sexual gratification from animation.
You guys, Zach's trying to talk. What did you just say?
I'm sorry.
Zach, you were saying?
No, it's all good. I just say they sound like my people, actually.
I consider myself a nerd.
Well, Zack Snyder, Mazel Tov, you're from Wisconsin. I'm assuming you're Jew. And you love graphic novels. Zach, please, do you reside in New York or Los Angeles?
I live in L.A.
Well, when your next movie, The Watchmen, comes out, why don't you come in studio and give it a nice big plug-a-rooney?
Absolutely, I will. It'll be good fun.
All right.
Congratulations.
And look here, brother, if you're looking for some real talent, put me on one of your little joints.
Yeah, one of them could be played by Dag. What do you think?
I'm the Watchman. How dare you? Bring me my sword and my lightsaber. Not bad, Dag.
That's pretty awesome.
Thanks a lot.
He's a versatile man.
I am.
All right, for your next project, maybe it's a little late for The Watchman.
My voice at least comes naturally, but the chemo slows me down from the actual
action scenes.
Zach, good speaking to you, and we'll see you in person soon.
All right, you guys are awesome.
300, everybody, in theaters as we speak, and look.
It must be good.
I don't want to live in a world where Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles wins a second week in a row.
We can't have that. Everyone see 300.
Well, the thing about 300 is it's the kind of movie you can see twice, and it's the kind of people who see movies thousands of times. My mom will go see a movie she loves, and that'll be the only time she sees it in her life. The guys that are into this stuff will see it 15 times. The first 14 times they were stoned, so they don't remember. And let me offer that as a little the more you know. Get baked before you go to a movie. You're not doing anything. Have someone else drive. Get stoned off your ass. Go to see the movie. And then when it comes out on video 6 months from now, enjoy it all over again. It's like growing a new hymen.
Okay. I would never admit to seeing a movie twice. I would never cop to that. I would say I saw the 600, but I would never say, oh, yeah, I stood in line, saw the same movie twice. I couldn't cop to that.
Well, I like 302. We'll take a quick break. Dag, hang with us, brother.
I would like to.
We'll take a break. When we come back, T's going to tee up the news. T?
Yes, you know Lily Tomlin. She's so sweet, except on the set when she sounds like this.
F*** you, mother f***. F*** you. Get the thing together.
But did George Clooney leak that audio? He has an answer for you, and so do I.
I think it's...
What?
I can't. I don't want to violate FCC rules. Too much respect.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with the news and Dag next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Rental car customers often forget music CDs and other items, but not very many leave behind their pet boa constrictor. You know, most people just leave behind, I don't know, sunglasses.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
David Allen Greer is here.
What's going on?
Also, our own Teresa Strasser. So I'm wondering, let's do the news and we'll hear ourselves another cranky anchor call since it is Friday. T?
Yes.
Let's get it on with the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
One of the 15 British service members held captive in Iran appeared today on the government's Arabic language station apologizing for entering Iranian waters, quote, without permission. Also on this video was another one of the British service members and a third one who's the female that's there. And they said in a letter, I deeply apologize for entering your waters without permission. It's unclear whether they're being forced to make these statements or whether they're choosing.
Is it unclear to you?
Yeah, nobody.
Well, it's clear to me. It sounds natural and heartfelt.
No,
am I the only one here? Wow.
Here's how stupid that culture is. They always release these videotapes where they torture the people and then do a prepared statement, and they think we buy it, which is how dumb they are. It's like a 9-year-old coming home with a wallet, and you going, where did you get that wallet? And they go, I don't know, just show up in my hand. Like, they're dumb. You're not. Of course we don't believe it. Stop releasing the videos. We know when a video is released, you have force-fed the information
to
your captors.
There's a huge upside to that, though.
Yes.
Because there was a time, as recently, I would think, as Vietnam, and certainly World War One and Two, where prisoners would endure incredible torture before they'd break and do anything like that, and you'd see them, and they'd be beaten and broken.
Name, rank, serial number.
Now we know, okay, they torture them and make them say it. So now they just go, all right, let me save you some time. Everybody at home, I'm not going to be ashamed that I said this, because everybody knows you tortured me.
Well, I'm putting this word out there right now. If I'm ever kidnapped and I release a video, everything that comes out of my mouth is a lie, even the part where I say, honey, I miss you and I love the kids. It's all a lie. So just take it as if.
So in other words, you're saying that this video is akin to you asking, say, one of your former girlfriends, honey, why are your panties in your purse? Well, I just needed some air. Is that what you're saying?
Is that what happened to you, Dad?
Well, I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you get in those situations. You come at somebody from an honest point, right? And they're just lying. And you can look in their eyes and you see the devil living there in his little condo, his devil condo. And you're like, why are you, you know, panties in your purse? I'm going, because I always do that.
Well, Dag, I know it's hard. But
All right. Who's more damaged goods, Teresa or Dak? Because they're getting together on Monday.
I think it's a coin toss, but maybe Rosie O'Donnell beats both of us.
Oh, my God.
She had some comments on the situation in Iran on The View yesterday.
It's very hard in America when anyone from the Mideast has been so demonized that no matter what, it's impossible for some people to believe that the Iranians in any way could ever do anything ethical.
You know, it's great. Just think about this. She is a husky lesbian that has adopted 20 kids, lives with her life partner, and is on a show where she gets to talk smack about the country she lives in. If she was in any of the countries she is talking about supporting, she would be put on a stick and burned in the center of town.
First of all, they'd have to make a burqa that fits that bitch. So that's going to keep a village busy for a while.
Well, they'll just use the tent that they use over at the Barrett Jackson car auction over there in Arizona every year.
Devil's advocate guy? Mm-hmm. I don't know. She sounded pretty reasonable to me. Hey, am I here all alone? Okay, I guess I'm nuts, huh? Come on. I guess I'm nuts.
You know, often I do agree with her points on The View. Not that particular point.
No.
Now, in the world of entertainment, occasionally something gets recorded and then released, and this has been a favorite. Lily Tomlin and director David O. Russell had a fight, or several, on the set of I Heart Huckabee. It was well publicized that they didn't get along. They butted heads. And a couple of clips have been released, and no one really knows how they got out. Here is David O. Russell yelling at Lily Tomlin.
Hey, bitch, I'm not here to be yelled at. I worked on this for 3 years. Don't have some yell at me in front of the crew when I'm trying to help you, bitch.
Now, in a moment, I'm going to tell you where these may or may not have come from.
I always do enjoy when the people are yelling at people about yelling at them or yelling. It's like,
you better watch your tone. You better watch your tone. You better show me respect. You show respect. Listen, you walking pile of excrement. You don't come at me with that tone. You don't show me.
Are you yelling at me?
They're yelling.
Did you raise your voice?
Don't you point your finger at me. Don't you point your finger. They're yelling, don't point your finger while they're pointing their finger. And they're yelling, watch your tone at the top of their lungs.
There's nothing more exciting when you hear that tone in the voice where you know this guy lost it.
Adam! I have to talk to you right. You too, Daddy. You're next. Teresa on deck.
This is my exact parenting skills.
Really?
Totally how I deal.
So you're talking to your daughter?
She goes too far, and I won't spank. But I think everything short of spanking is okay. Because my wife lets a 12-year-old make a decision. You go to your room right now, young lady. And Isabella doesn't move. You throw in a couple of F-bombs at a 12-year-old, they start jumping.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say, you mind your effing manners, she's an effing adult, and you can't effing talk to her like... And then she goes to her room, and guess who's punished? Guess who's getting no sex from the wife, and the kid's not going to talk to me for a week.
Well, speaking of spanking.
Yes.
Right. There ain't some spanking going on. Well, Ducey ends up spanking himself for not spanking the kid.
I don't care. You guys don't love me.
It comes full circle. Lily Tomlin did not...
Hold on. Do you fall asleep after you masturbate? Right.
You know, just really, Miles, we call that checking the email. But I have to say it in a perfect way because my porn is right next to my actual email.
You use that as a euphemism.
So I have to tell Gretchen not to come downstairs.
Because you're checking your email?
Yeah, if I say to her, I'm going to go check the email, that means I'm going to go check the email.
Do you say,
but if I say to her, yes. Honey, I'm going to go... check the email.
Right.
She knows not to let anybody downstairs near the office.
Gretchen, my inbox is full.
No, nobody says that in my house.
Wait a minute. Honey, what are you doing in there? Nothing?
All right, can I continue on with this story?
By the way, I do it sitting on a weight bench if you wanted more.
On a
info.
Weight bench?
Yeah, that's the only thing there's room
macho.
For.
Hey, devil advocate guy here. You know, you play the David O. Russell tirade.
Thank you.
Maybe he's just a creative director and giving an actress he loves and respects a line reading.
Well, Dave Allen Greer.
Okay.
Do you think Lily Tomlin took it sitting down, or do you think she gave it back?
I don't know. I think she was very happy. What, am I out here in left field all alone?
Let's take a listen to Lily Tomlin on the set of I Heart Huckabees.
You mother. You get the thing together. You.
Okay, so how did these clips get out there in the world?
I felt sorry for, I think it was Dustin Hoffman or somebody was sitting in between two people.
He was in the movie,
he was literally sandwiched between her, and she was throwing the F-bombs across his bow to get to the director.
Well, rumor spread that George Clooney was the guy responsible, and the rumor became so widespread that he had to stop it from being further promulgated. So he put out a press release to the media, and it said, contrary to popular opinion, neither the sound man, Ed Tice, nor yours truly sent in the David O. Russell tape. I saw it when we were working on Ocean's 12, and there have been quite a few copies traveling around town for the last couple of years. He went on to say, and listen up, because you could make a lot of money. He went on to say, any rumor that either of us has put it on the internet is simply false, and I'd offer $1 million to anyone who would prove otherwise. Your fan, George Clooney.
Could you read just his exact quote again at the very end? I'd, so from there?
Yes.
Does it say I'd?
I'd offer.
Okay, right there. He doesn't say I.
I'd.
I would.
He didn't offer anything just then.
Ah.
Hmm.
Interesting.
He didn't offer a thing.
And read the end where he says, $1 million.
See? That guy's, that guy's smart, hair? Man. I'd offer.
Degillion?
I didn't, but I would.
Carillion? Degillion.
I've got a new show. Who wants to be a carillionaire?
Wow. Yeah.
But hold on, Teresa. Yes. It's crazy guy over here. Okay, left field man. I don't really think you read...
I would offer a Negrillion, by the way.
I don't think you read that George Clooney quote quite accurately. I think it went something like this. Are you accusing me?
Don't you part of it. But did you raise your tone?
Don't you raise your tone? Put that effing thing out for people to read.
Now, let's say if he were a carillionaire, but wouldn't spend any of the money on anything, making him incredibly cheap, what would he be then?
Jurillionaire?
I don't appreciate that. Listen, I've got time for one more story, and you guys have your choice. Do you want opening at the box office, or do you want man pleases woman with only his mind?
Man pleases woman! Man pleases woman!
Just throw the word boob, too, just for fun, as long as you're
asking. Here's a story out of Queens, New York. There was a guy. He had a girlfriend named Nellie. They were together several years. They have a 3-year-old daughter. Nellie went on a 10-day bike trip to Arizona.
Well, that's what did it.
Well, it is what did it. Everything changed because when she went on the bike trip, she met a man, a professional cyclist, and he, according to court papers that were filed, he could... All right, I'm going to be careful. This is according to the court papers. She met a man that could make her cervix orgasm just by thinking.
I think my cervix just orgasmed.
In other words, the man could provide her sexual pleasure with his mind, and she would actually finish.
While riding on a bicycle down a bumpy path
was
in Arizona.
Was he talking to her when he did this?
I'm certain it was with the talk.
You think it sounded like, I tell you right now, you're going to be sexually satisfied with me just from using my brain waves.
I just finished.
I think this might be a little uncomfortable, but let's see if it can be done. There are 3 or 4 good minds in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Can we all just concentrate right now on Tease V as hard as we can and see if we can make her finish? Ready, begin.
This is so
This
never happens to Christian Amanpour.
Plus,
I was thinking about bicycles.
They did this on Star in the 6 a.m. hour.
Now, here's the thing. A lawsuit has been filed by the man who was left. Because he claims that she inflicted emotional abuse on him with this story.
So this was this strange mystery cyclist who did this to her.
Yeah, he stole the guy's woman by being able to please her with just his mind. Which, by the way, I think for most women, the seduction is mostly in the mind.
But how did he find out?
He just probably started talking and realized he was going in the right direction.
Wow. My wife does the 10-day cycling as well, but it's a little different cycle, and it's not as pleasurable as this one.
Look out!
Look out, everybody. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Why don't you put a fork in that one, T?
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
She's worth every penny of the Hebrillion dollars. We pay her to do that newscast. When we come back, we'll do some more crank yankers, and I will do my favorite. I will force Dag to do my favorite David Alan Greer bit.
Stop it.
Is it Maya? Angela?
Is it
Adam?
Yeah. Good to be here. I'd like to take you out for an imported beer.
I love that.
It is not Maya Angelou. We have not done it this year. It's probably been a solid year since we've done it.
That's all. I haven't seen it.
That's all I'll say. Bonaducci, you've never seen this one.
Look out!
Frank Yankers and my favorite David Alan Greer bit next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, this is Special Ed from Frank Yankers, and you're listening to Adam Carolla Show. Yay! I like Adam. Yay!
Well, we're going to hear some Frank Yankers since it's Friday, and we're on MTV2. 10 o'clock, we'll dip into the vault and listen to one from, I think, season three from my character, Mr. Burcham. David Alan Greer is with us. David is going to be at the Brea Improv tonight through Sunday, and you think this is funny, you wait till he wakes up, kiddies.
Look out, baby!
You can go to, you can get tickets at improv.com. Also, thank God you're here. Series premiere Monday, April 9th, 9 o'clock, NBC. We will hear Crank Anchor's call, and then we will play and do my favorite David Alan Greer bit. He doesn't know what it is, near as anyone else, but I do, and we haven't done it in at least a year. So, let's hear some, now what is this, Burcham? Oh, Burcham calls a homeless shelter? Yes, Burcham calls a homeless shelter.
Peace, rescue mission. Mike speaking, how can I help you?
Mike?
Yes?
Howdy do. Name's Burcham. Probably heard the name. Made quite a few medium to large donations to the mission over the years, and could use a little help.
Okay.
I'm looking for some bums to come by the house and help me set up for Christmas. What I'm looking for, basically, is a sort of your able-bodied bum, not your sort of dried-up alky bum.
Okay.
I'm looking for bums that don't have a lengthy criminal history.
Okay.
So, fairly clean records. Hey, I don't mind if they did a little shoplifting or beat their old lady. I'm talking more putting a shiv in a white guy, that kind of crime.
Let me transfer you to someone else if I can drop you up, okay?
Could I talk to one of the hobos?
No.
What about a vagrant?
I can't allow that. Not on this phone.
Yeah, you have any drifters or transients there?
Let me transfer you to Chaplain Tony.
How about junkies or runaways?
Chaplain Tony.
Chaplain Tony.
Yeah.
Do you guys rent bums?
Employers come down here and they pick people up and stuff. So if you want to come down here, you can come down, and if somebody wants to come and help you, I'm sure that could probably be arranged.
So how you guys fix for drifters? Pretty good crop?
Yeah, we got quite a few here.
Quite a few drifters. How about hobos?
Yeah, we're full every night, at least 100.
Boxcar Johnny's?
Yeah. Why don't you come on down and check us out?
Well, me and my wife going out bum shopping tomorrow, but I just don't want to kill the whole day out looking at bums. I'd rather narrow it down, do an advance. She likes to bum shop on the internet, but I told her I'm old-fashioned. I like to thump them in person. You know what I mean?
Kick the shin, see how
they're doing.
Yeah.
I was saying, let me tell you something. I've been burned a few times. Wife, you're on the internet, you find a couple of good bums, you have them come by the house, you see them in real life. Next thing you know, one of them's on top of your daughter, the other one's gotten into your liquor cabinet. I don't need that to happen again.
Yeah.
Is there a bum deposit I got to leave? Or?
No, sir, there is.
All right, we'll just chain them together and I'll drag them behind the van.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Merry Christmas and a happy Chanukah.
See you later. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. What was the guy's name? Chaplain what?
Tony.
Chaplain Tony.
Going to pimp out some of the bums.
Oh, we're going to go bum shopping there. I can thump them myself.
Carla, that's you. That's just you.
Yeah, that's just
voice.
You.
Wait a minute. I'm figuring it all out.
Let me hold my nose.
That was Adam.
Hey, Dag.
Yeah?
I want to do my favorite Dag bit. It's not Maya Angelou.
Oh, boy.
It's not making you throw up.
What is it?
That was my guess.
Not having you fall asleep after having sex with Teresa Strasser, although that's near the top.
You should put crying in there.
God.
Teresa.
You're so awesome.
That's what you used to.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Brings back memories.
It was like you were tongue-kissing my soul.
What is your favorite bit?
Yes,
my favorite bit is something we stumbled onto during Loveline many years ago when I decided that a lot of the hormones in the birth control pill sounded like names of young black people.
That's an interesting thing to come across.
Oh, and Dag immediately snapped into a heavyset woman of color standing on the porch of her inner city house, screaming at these new kids to come back inside of the house. And now, picture Dag.
Let me get in my head, okay.
Big clamp-on earrings.
Yes.
Wearing a house coat.
No makeup.
No makeup.
Bright red lipstick.
That's the only stitch of makeup on. And hair. Where's your hair? Up.
It's up and down.
Up and down.
A little kinky in the back.
Uh-huh.
The long day of third job. Just got home.
Uh-huh. And you're... Now, are you the biological mother...
Some of the kids? Some of them are my grandkids. I'm 42.
42. Heavy set.
Yeah, heavy set.
Woman
heavy
of color.
Yes.
Has to play both roles, mother and father, to the children. Yeah. Now, it's the street lights are about to come on. Mm-hmm. It's supper time.
Yes.
And you need them to come into the house.
Let's get to it.
Here we go. First child, Leva Nergesterol.
Leva Nergesterol. Leva Nergesterol. Please come home. Come home right now. The street light's about to be on. Don't make me put my shoes on and come get you. Leave it to death row. You hear me? Come on in there. Terrell. Terrell, have you seen Leave it to death row? Will you tell her I'm looking for her, please?
Kids getting on my nerves.
Next one. Nora Thindrone.
Hey, Nora Thindrone. Come here, come here. I know you're playing. I see you, little dog. Can you come here, please? Can you come here?
Yeah, now I got you by your neck.
Did you steal my ping pong paddle? Did you steal my ping pong paddle? Because I swear for God, if you've been spanking my pit bull, boo-boo, I'm going to get you, okay? Now go on back to play with your dolls, and don't be bad. Don't be bad.
And the last of the three children that Dag must call in to come in and eat supper, Estradiol.
Estradiol? Estradiol. I know you hear me. I don't know what tree you in. You playing in the garage or something. There's a police car in front of this house. Now you need to come and talk to this white man. He seems very upset. It's something involving a BB gun. You don't like weapons up in here. I forget your name. What's your name again?
Estradiol.
Estradiol. I'm going to count to three. And then I'm going to skin my knuckles on your jaw. All right? Now don't make me come get you. It's only going to get worse.
Ooh, I need a beer.
David Alan Greer, wow, in charge of hormones and birth control pills, everybody.
Thank you. I was a little rusty. I had to dig deep, but I think I kind of nailed it.
I think you did it, man. I think you nailed it.
Wow, thank you so much.
You went out on top, my brother. As you always do.
As you will on Monday night.
I'm going to see you on Monday night.
And you will come out on top.
It's going to be on like some popcorn. You know, on the first date, I don't wear no drawers.
No?
I'm just going to have my sweatpants on. Let's just see what you're working with.
But you know who's going to see? You know who's going to see you tonight? All the people at the Brea Improv.
Absolutely. That's right.
Nice.
Absolutely. Not only tonight, tomorrow night.
That's the last plug you're
going
to get. And
on the day of the Lord, Sunday.
And Sunday as well. Now, what will you do? Will you do a little Maya Angelou up on stage?
Will you do
a little Peanut? I've seen your stand-up. You just do funny, straight stand-up.
I do.
But does anyone ever shout
out? Hey, is it just me? I do stuff like no other, you know, comic does. And if you've been to a comedy club in the last 20 years, I know you didn't hear this one. This is not my big bit. This is my transition from the soft side to the heavy stuff. Hey, guys, you know when you eat the cheese doodle, what do you do with that dust, that orange cheese doodle?
On your fingers,
Good observational humor.
I touched your dress, and what do you got? I got fingerprints. Okay, tip your wages.
David Alan Greer, Brea Improv, tonight through Sunday, and thank God you're here. Series premieres Monday, April 9th on NBC.
Terry, I'll see you Monday.
All right.
One good plug deserves another.
We'll take a break.
Wow.
Quick break.
I heard that. That's like an oral contract.
When we come back, one more great Crank Anchors call, and we'll break down the final four in the March Madness, everybody. A lot of you got brackets. We'll give you. We will. A lot of people just drove off the road, Daddy. I wonder if there could be. I mean, we're living in a society where you can sue for anything, yeah, right? What yes, if you said, I was driving down the highway, I had my kids in the car, I just turned the radio up, I was drinking a coffee at the time, and David Alan Greer did this into the microphone. And I drove into a cattle truck.
Yeah, let's not talk about that, because somebody might actually do it. All right.
I love a thought about that, though. Wait, if you make someone crash, could they blame your station?
Absolutely.
Quick,
that's
some shit again. Quick break. Back with March Madness wrap-up and another good Cranky Anchors call next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Stockdale, Texas. A man was arrested for shooting his son in the leg after a dispute about a spilled bottle of whiskey. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, a couple things to get to this break. One is we are going to give the results for the Final Four, which we're going to start up on Monday, and we'll do a little highlights package for you. The other thing, Crank Yankers. Now, normally we play celebrities who have done it over the years, and we've had a lot of big celebrities do Crank Yankers. This is a guy you've never heard of. His name is Reed Agnew. He was one of our writers. This was season three when we started placing ads in papers, and people would call us. See, when you call somebody and try to screw with them, you can get away with it half the time, but you're calling them. Right. When they call you, it's much easier to screw with them. We put an ad in a local paper looking for telemarketers, and here's what happened.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Yvonne Bonney. I'm calling the reference to the ad in the paper this afternoon about telemarketers wanted.
Oh, great, great. Do you have any telemarketing experience?
No, I have customer service experience.
Okay, that's good. That's a good start. What we do here is a little bit different, though. Our angle is that we sort of prey on the sympathies of our customers. We will have our telemarketers speak in a stutter or some other device that makes them feel sorry for us so that they buy more products.
No, you play the game. You have to play a game. I understand.
Can you do a stutter for me?
Yeah.
Good, good, good. That was great. Okay, let's do a quick role play. I'm going to be the customer, and you're going to give me a sales pitch, but you're going to do it with a stutter. All right, Yvonne, you're trying to sell me Bibles.
Bibles?
Okay, ready? I'll start.
Hello, who's this?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Oh, my
God. My name is Miss Bonnie. And I'm calling from the God Creation Bible Company.
Do you believe in God?
Of course. There is a God.
Why would God give you a stutter?
Oh, well, God had different things for different people, and I guess...
My God. Yvonne, you're a natural. Let's get a little more advanced now. Can you give me a sickly whisper, sort of like you've just had a tracheotomy?
Hello.
Cancer Danny back in here.
Listen, lady, whatever you're selling, I don't need it.
Sir, just give me a chance. I know I have to pay the bills and everything. I'm selling Bibles. Do you believe in God?
Bibles? I hate the Bible. I am 100% Buddhist.
It has to be a supreme being somewhere, or neither one of us will be here.
Well, I hate the Bible, but you do have such a sad, sickly voice, you sort of convinced me. How much is that piece of crap Bible?
The Bible, $39.95.
Yvonne, I got to tell you, that was phenomenal. The way you stuck with it when the guy didn't want to buy the Bible, and you totally brought him around. That's just what we're looking for.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Yvonne, one last thing. We'd like for you to try doing the voice of someone who's just had extreme head trauma. Very sad, slow voice. Just short of a vegetable, basically.
Okay.
Short of a vegetable.
My name is Ivory, and I'm trying to sell you a Bible, a really, really good Bible.
Whoa. Yvonne, you are the Michael Jordan of slow stuttering halfwits. We'll be in touch and I'll call you back in a few days, okay?
Okay.
Bye.
Teresa, I know. Don't give me that holier than thou look or we'll play another one of your ass parody songs.
No, not that. I felt so sorry for this woman. She's just trying to get a job. I mean, it's funny.
Hey, I'm sorry. If you're going to sell Bibles, if they didn't think anything else.
No,
that woman will definitely burn in hell for what she did, but she will certainly meet Carolla there for writing it.
It was very clever, but tell me you threw her a couple bucks just for being in the call.
We would
set our fruit basket.
People would sign off. We would call the people back. It was always weird, especially when they got really
She was so desperate for a job.
The angriest someone ever got to me. This is not funny. It's sad, but I'll say it anyway. The angriest someone ever got, because once in a while I had a horrible record of getting under people's skins and they would want to kill me over the phone. And then you would call them back and you'd go, hey, it's just a joke. And you sign a release and they would yell F you and hang up the phone. And then we'd offer them dinner for two at the place where the guy held up the huge lobster on the billboard in Vegas.
And they go, oh, right.
Sometimes one guy. I was calling this guy asking if he could help me move my morbidly obese wife.
I love that.
It was one of those in that series of morbidly
obese.
And the guy was, I could hear him laughing with his buddies the whole time. And I'd be like, you know, she's, you know, 600 pounds, but she has a disease and it's called morbid obesity. And he was like laughing and screwing with his buddy. And at a certain point, I did that thing where I got really indignant and I started crying and I got upset. And I said, you know, she has a disability, sir. She's not a circus animal. You cannot make fun of her. I would appreciate it if you didn't take people with disabilities. And he said, he got real straight and sober for a second. He pulled it together and he goes, no, listen, I know I have a 2-year-old who has a trach hole. And I said, well, your 2-year-old was a smoker and she brought that on herself.
Oh my God.
This guy went from making fun of me and my fat wife to his head turning into a chimney.
Oh,
and he
God.
Was like, I will find you and kill you. He went nuts from zero. He went from making fun of this schlub's fat wife to I will track you down and kill you for what you said about my daughter.
She was a smoker.
Oh, that's
I, you know it's bad when Kimmel and the rest of the a-holes over there go, wow, you crossed the line.
They're telling you.
Yes, they're telling me that, yeah.
As long as that lady got dinner for two at the lobster place.
I'm sure she got something in return. Or, hey, she got on the radio, everybody.
Yeah, there I hope she has a job now.
Yeah, because we do this every day for free.
Speaking of the radio, we've been in the middle of our March Madness, and we've gotten it down to our final four.
Yes, lots of you people went on AdamCarolla.com and voted, and the matchups were... The too long baseball season over license plates. Who do you guys think won?
The license plates?
Yes, a resounding victory by license plates.
Good.
Then
so
it was
going forward to the final four?
Advancing to the final four, and license plates is going to match up against red turn arrows. Wow. Heavily favored red turn arrows. That's going to be, I think, I don't know. I don't feel like that's an even-handed match. But the next one, recycling commercials went up against shoelaces. Too long, too short.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think took that one? Mm.
They're both weird sort of outsider topics that I don't even think about that much, to be honest. So I'm surprised that they both made it to the Elite Eight, but I don't know which one pushed forward.
Recycling commercials pushed forward by quite a margin. So recycling commercials will be taking on National Pride. Good parody in that matchup.
Yeah. I think the definite Goliath, though, is National Pride.
Yes.
A lot of people have that on their
brackets.
That's
the top seeded. So... Monday, the final four will be
Yeah, it's a tough beat. I would say why, in my opinion, it's going to be so hard to beat the national pride, but I think that's salting the mind, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You start giving out reasons why you should, but that one is a heavy favorite in my book.
Yes, it's going to be Red Terneros against national pride in the big dance, if you ask me, but I don't know.
We have a little highlight package of this week's March Madness Madness. We'll play that for you now.
The Adam Carolla Show salutes the final four in March Madness Madness. Front license plates.
That way the ticket can be waiting for you when you get home from a long day of paying taxes.
National pride.
Have as much national pride as you can stuff up your tukai in your own country.
Recycling commercials.
Take some of the money that you're putting toward the radio and television campaign and put recycling dumpsters in the apartment.
Red turn air.
The arrow's red, the signal's green, there's no cars coming. I could see so far in the distance, I saw the Earth's curvature.
March Madness Madness.
What's going to make me mad March?
Vote at AdamCarolla.com.
I pay taxes, bitch.
And tune in for the final four Monday morning.
That's why it's my problem.
March Madness Madness.
You're crapping in our punch bowl.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, the reason we have to call it March Madness Madness and Final Four Four instead of March Madness and Final Four is because our lawyers got involved and said you can't say March Madness. You have to add a word. But
Harry Potter's retarded cousin.
Thank you. But they didn't say what word we had to add, and we just added a word that was already there.
Couldn't you just act like that lady and kind of stutter then? And really still be saying it, so it's March Madness.
Madness, madness. Yeah. I should break it up.
Yeah.
Well, either way, we've beat the suits on a technicality. Take that, man. Take a quick break.
He'll take a victory wherever you can get it.
Be right back on the Adam Carolla Show. Well, we have a couple of seconds left, and that's good news because I have a little bit of business to do. First, I want to thank Joel McHale, the soup. Everybody on E. Then David Allen Greer, Bray Improv, tonight through Sunday, Zack Snyder, 300 in theaters now. And now Jenny McCarthy, who never did call us back with Jim Carrey to lavish praise on Danny Bonaducci. I will tell everybody, if you're a fan of Jenny McCarthy, you want to support Jenny Craig.
Oh, wow.
Jenny Craig.
Wow.
Don't get into that Weight Watchers crap.
Doesn't even work.
Does not work. Jenny Craig is where you want to go. Thank you, Jenny McCarthy.
I'm never crossing you. Unless I'm willing to kill you. I'm not playing with you.
All right. Well, at least I'll know before I die. I'll do the cross you, Matt. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
You better watch your tone! You better watch your tone! You better show me respect! You show respect! Listen, you walking pile of excrement!